much about.
Bean, I mean, period. Bean, I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Bean.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich and I'll put it in my mouth.
Thank you for whipping that out on us.
Now, can you say the alphabet for me?
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison? By, let's go ahead, Terrace Station. Let's go to the bit they haven't picked.
Excellent.
The lovely Brooke Burke will show off her cha-cha next.
I look at rape the same way I look at HIV. If you play guard for the Lakers, it won't affect you.
Oh, my God. I almost didn't do it. I almost didn't do it. I thought, is this in bad taste? But you know what? I went for it. I went for it, and I am so glad I did. Oh, worth it. Totally worth it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is it still rape if he yells surprise?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do now.
Roll another one.
You're sucking all the energy out of the room.
Just like the other one.
I guess everybody does love dick.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Delicious.
I need another
hit. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Oh, good morning.
Roll. This one seems to be about to end.
Seems kind of gay.
I don't have another cent.
I want to talk about 2012. What do you think?
Well, can you expand on that?
I don't know if that guy knows what he's talking about.
Just pass it around.
Everything's going to be okay, right?
What the what?
Just pass it.
And now,
let's just say that fame was like a drug. But what was even more like a drug was the drugs.
Our feature presentation.
Good point. It's a good point. People don't
think makes a lot of sense.
People don't think of it that way. Morning, it's an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Friday morning.
It is the 29th of April. Lingus. Hey, when is that royal wedding? I wanted to watch that.
I think it's next
weekend. Is it this weekend or next week?
Next weekend.
I definitely don't want to miss any of
that. It was already.
What?
It was.
What?
It's done.
What?
I think they did it.
No,
they did it. People in
we would have heard something.
In Libya would have talked about it on, for God's sake.
They would have talked about it on the TV.
Was this in the news?
It was in the news. Yeah, well, it wasn't much. You didn't miss much.
It was last night in the middle of the night.
I got to find a piece of tape for you here.
I got to tell you that there was an argument in my house.
Oh, well, tell me.
My wife wanted me to set the alarm for 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
So she could get up and watch it. Mm-hmm. My regular alarm goes off at 3:50.
Big like, difference
I'm
at
like,
that time.
I don't want to get up at 2:30 just because you want to watch the wedding. I said, TiVo it. You know, because then they have commercials and you can fast forward.
Exactly.
So that's what ended up happening. Thank God.
Well, she didn't watch it live?
No.
She's no kind of real woman then. Real women don't
She's
trust TiVo
woman.
For things like this.
She's a good woman.
Kevin, you really did blow it, though, because you've said many times in the past that anything can be entertaining if there's a way to bet on it, if you got money on it.
Oh, yeah, if you can gamble, it helps.
And I saw an interview with a guy yesterday, legitimate, just like you know, just like in America, you can go and bet on Dancing with the Stars if you want. There were a ton of, I mean, there were 100 different ways you could bet on the royal wedding yesterday. Everything from, you know, what color the Queen's outfit was going to be to whether Prince Philip fell asleep during the ceremony. I mean, there
oh,
were some
sweet.
awesome things that you could bet on. One of them, very popular, was whether Prince Harry would drop the ring, for instance, as he handed it to his brother. So, I mean, at least with that, as boring as it is, at least you can tune in, you can hope for disaster.
Oh, you can make anything fun if you gamble.
Gamble on it.
Those long, long award shows, if you're gambling enough on it, you know, you just go, wow, come on, best makeup. I'm so excited about this category. Can swing the whole thing my way.
And of course, you know, who's gonna thank God? I mean, there's a lot of different things. Sure. Anytime there's an accepted speech, you can work on that. Who's gonna forget their husband or wife? But I try. You know me.
I don't care.
I don't care that much about the royal wedding, but I do care about the news, and I do like to stay current. And by the way, I'd be pretty ticked if I was in one of those towns in Alabama that has been decimated by a tornado, and I turn on CNN or any news channel, and all they're covering is the royal wedding.
Well,
I'd be like, hey, I'm over here sleeping outside because I've got no house. How about a camera?
The good news is you wouldn't be able to turn on a TV.
Well, there is so. That. You would have that advantage.
Yeah. Good point.
That'd be all right.
So I like to stay current. I like to know what's going on. So I thought, well, I'll flip it on and see how much of it I can stomach. And the first thing I heard
when
I turned
it on. Wait, at what time did you flip it on?
Well, I didn't get up early for it, but I had TiVo'd, so I fast-forwarded to where it looked like she was getting to the church.
Okay.
So I thought that's a good point to start and at least kind of get the flavor for what is happening.
And you heard an announcer come on and say,
actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
And then I thought, well, that's everything I need to know, and I went back to bed. No, the first thing I saw was Anderson Cooper, who I guess, Lisa, did you watch it on CNN or did you watch it somewhere else?
I didn't. I think I watched it on Channel 4 for a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm so freaking sick of the Today Show that I couldn't bear it, so I put it on CNN. Anyway, I don't know if Anderson is there or not, or if he was anchoring from New York, but the very first thing he did was started talking about the dress with Vera Wang, the very popular, what is she? She's a fashion designer. And Kate had not gotten out of the car yet, so all they'd seen is what they could see from her in the car on her way to the chapel, but they still had plenty to say about the goddamn dress.
Vera Wang is with us in New York, as well as Nikki Penny, a former stylist for Kate Middleton. Vera, from what you've seen of the dress so far, what you expected?
I think it's very much what I expected, actually, and I mean that in a good sense. It doesn't seem to be so fashion-forward that will age in photographs. I particularly am involved with the veil, because I'm a bit of a veil fanatic.
All right, you with me so far?
Wow, she's a veil fanatic.
Sure, how could you not be? Uh-huh. Think she's done?
And I think the way they cut the veil, which is they just dropped it down rather than gathering it, is extremely, I think, modern and a great compliment to probably what I think is a very, very full skirt and train. So that veil, the cut of a veil is key, actually, Anderson. I'm sure you don't want to hear about it, guys.
Oh, Anderson wants to hear about it. Believe me. Anderson's as into this as you are, Vera Wang. And it went on and on and on. And I thought, how can they be spending this much time talking about this woman I don't care about and her dress I don't care about? How can this be the thing?
Well, what do you think they're going to be covering when you tune in?
I don't know.
That's the thing. That's all they care about is the dress.
I guess.
You know that.
Well, no, there is more to it. There's more to it than that.
Not much.
There's the tradition and the history and all the people that are there.
to see the dress.
But the cut of the veil is so important, and this kind of veil creates transparency over the body. So you can see the body from inside the veil, which is what I would have loved for her, because I think she's got such a beautiful, elegant line, and I think it's extraordinary. I think that Pippa's dress is lovely because it's so incredibly simple and youthful understated, which is in direct contrast to her sister, of course, the bride.
I'm gonna give me some of that Pippa, by the way, before this whole thing's over. I don't know how yet, but Pippa's her sister, her hot sister. No. Kate's hot too.
Is she
by
hotter
the way.
Than Kate?
She's as hot as Kate.
All right.
So that's my goal.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
And that's my other goal.
To find out what that is.
Find out what she's saying and to nail her.
Yes.
Right. You know, nail her too. Right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? What? I don't have pants? What? A lot of times I wonder where those come from.
Yes, we all do.
Phil Rosenthal will be in the studio talking about Exporting Raymond, a new movie about Everybody Loves Raymond.
Now, he's a
co-creator. He and Raymond are the creators, yeah.
Wow, fantastic. So he doesn't need the money?
No. He took it to Russia, and they tried to make a Russian version of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay.
But the Russians don't do things quite like we do. We have comedian Jim Jefferies on the program today.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Excited about that. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. I believe we're going to check in with Michael Jackson in heaven with all of this Michael Jackson news that's going on. It's like a story a day lately. And the latest is this girl that is being forced to move out of the house that has had kids with two brothers.
Wow.
In the same family. How does that work out?
And that's not even in the top 100 of weird things about the Jackson family.
Yeah, well, that's true. So we got that coming up today as well. And in about a half hour, we're going to talk to you if you stayed up to watch the royal wedding. You're still up. You got up, you know, in the middle of the night, and now you're
Well, you
up.
Couldn't sleep after that excitement. You'd be on such a romance high right now that there'd be no way you could settle down enough to go to sleep.
Well, I know the veil for me was exciting enough because it's, they just let it drop.
It was exquisite. It wasn't gathered, as I feared
right.
it might be.
I was afraid it was going to be gathered as well. But they just let it drop, which I think will last through the future.
I think so. It's not going to age in photographs.
So that's coming up. We got the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
The latest from Linkin Park on the way. Also, some Phoenix Foo Fighters. And yes, once again, on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're happy to announce Local H coming up. Local H.
Come on now.
Woo! The H.
Can't get that anywhere else. And that's the actually literally true. You can't get that anywhere else.
The H. The people in the know.
The H.
People on the inside.
People on the inside, right. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
How do you do that? It never works.
Nope. It's a little Doto-esque and it kind of bugs.
Hey, Ralph Garman, that has the Showbiz Beat. Now, what's going on?
Oh, I didn't need a woman, Kevin and Bean.
Got like
the flan.
Got an email from a listener who sent us Doto's Match.com profile.
Sweet.
Oh, no.
With all the descriptions of himself and the kind of lady that he is looking for. It was very entertaining. Sweet. And not at all spell-checked or proofread.
Really?
Which I think is woman who likes chloroform and small spaces.
Which I think is going to be a red flag to a lot of ladies.
Yeah. Speaking of romance, love is in the air. And, you know, first comes love, first comes marriage. Then comes baby in a baby carriage.
Sure.
And that's the case for Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas. Which one is Taboo?
He's the other black one.
The other black one.
Oh, okay. Is he the blind one?
Yes.
Okay. He tweeted that he and his wife, Jamie, gave birth to their second child, a bouncing baby boy. His name, Journey.
Journey. Yes.
Journey.
All right.
Journey Jameson Gomez.
You and the horse you rode in on.
They have a one-year-old already named Jalen. And Taboo has a 17-year-old son from a previous relationship named Joshua. So Joshua, Jalen, and Journey will all be brothers.
Journey loses.
Journey.
I mean, can't you just hear in school when the teachers call and roll every day?
Don't stop believing.
Journey.
Is he the first person in the history of the world to ever be named Journey?
It's very possible. January Jones is expecting her first child this fall. She tells People Magazine she's really looking forward to this chapter in her life as a single mom. Oh, it's nothing easier, by the way, January Jones, than raising a child by yourself. I can see why you're so excited.
That was good fun.
Smart, smart move on your part. If only there was some way to keep yourself from getting pregnant when you weren't involved in a permanent relationship.
Ralph, you know, someday science will catch up. We'll get that.
Well, they got to work on that whole cold thing first. You know how I feel about that, the common cold.
And she won't know who the father is either, right? So it's not even like she can know who to sue to get child support.
No, she doesn't need it. She's a big-time movie star. Warren G is making some extra money. I wonder, is it more embarrassing or less embarrassing when a rapper or a hip-hop artist loses their cred by just whoring themselves out?
I don't know.
Is it more embarrassing for like a rock star to go through that? Or like a hip-hop artist?
I think because it seems like hip-hop worships money more. Well, no,
that's
then it
why
would be
I
less.
Think
yeah.
it's less.
Yeah, you're right.
Initially, I would think, wow, you really lose your cred with the more you sort of whore yourself out and just make the cash. But it's the culture is so much about just making cash
right.
at any cost
yeah.
that maybe they're more forgiving than, say, as a singer-songwriter from a, you know, like an indie group or a rock group or something like that would
I
be
agree.
Judged more harshly.
Like Arcade Fire, if they went sold out.
Right.
Then
let's say Arcade Fire
yeah.
had a series of commercials on for a product called Affirm XL, which is a male enhancement product. Helps right. you grow your wang bigger.
Okay, I would be surprised.
You would be surprised if Arcade yeah. Father did that, right?
Yes.
Well, Warren G. apparently has a new commercial for Affirm XL, which okay. feature him bragging that the pills help him regulate.
Oh.
See what they did there?
No, he didn't.
See what he did? He took his classic song, and then he went, and pooped on it.
How can I ruin it? How can I take away any good memories someone might have from that song?
Helps him regulate.
Affirm XL, the male enhancement formula, which I guess is just for the big boys with its name, Affirm XL.
Yeah.
Just for the brothers, yo.
I'm just glad they waited till Nate Dogg was safely dead before they announced this on Regulate.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Brandon Davis is back in trouble. He, for those of you who are keeping track, is Greasy Bear. Not well, he's Greasy Bear. But Gummy Bear. That's Jason Davis.
Which one was on Celebrity Rehab?
That was Jason.
Okay.
He was Gummy.
This is his brother.
This is Brandon, who is not as fat as Gummy.
Okay.
But is just as greasy.
All right.
And equally despicable.
Yes. Both grandsons of billionaire Marvin Davis. He was popped by Hollywood's finest on Wednesday night as he allegedly punched a comedian named Ben Glebe at the Roosevelt Hotel. Nothing good ever happens at that Roosevelt Hotel, by the way.
Is that right?
I'm telling you something. It just people are up to no good there. Things go horribly wrong there.
He punched a comedian.
Punched a comedian who I'm assuming made a joke at his expense. When the cops showed up, they found a little party favor in Brandon's pocket.
Hmm.
And Brandon was charged with battery and possession of a controlled substance, so he's got some troubles.
Yeah.
I am shocked that we have not seen his brother turn up dead, seeing the way he left Celebrity Rehab this most recent season.
Well, he got popped for possession.
Right, but I mean, how is he still alive? That was a guy who was on a fast train to death.
It sure didn't seem like it.
Yeah, I think we need to just eradicate the Davis family and start over again. Take all that money and find some other family named Davis. It's not an uncommon name. Somewhere sure. in Iowa or something. Maybe their house is in foreclosure. And then just dump all that money on them and say, let's see how you do with it. Because these Davises, not so much. You might have a better chance.
Yeah.
Farming Davises. Just find some new Davises and give them the money. And oh, tragic, sad, horrible, horrible news last night as Casey Abrams was voted off American Idol.
Is that...
He was the werewolf. He had the big bushy beard and the big bushy hair.
He was my guy.
Are you being facetious?
Bean's favorite. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's my favorite, yeah.
He wore out his welcome. He's just too weird for American Idol, basically. That's what I
think. He absolutely is. He's tremendously talented and was not at all interested in being a pop star. He wanted to be an avant-garde jazz artist.
Yeah.
What's he doing on that show, then?
Well, I mean, he's trying to make a buck. Squirrel looking for a nut, that's all.
But it's not known for putting out famous jazz artists.
No, it's not. I mean, he was always out of step. They asked him last night. They were taking questions from the audience, Twitter questions from the audience. Who would you most, what musical act would you most like to do a duet with, be on a record with? You know, and you'd think Lady Gaga or somebody like that is what you'd say if you're on American Idol. Oscar Peterson, jazz great Oscar Peterson is who I'd like to work with.
That's just a douchebag.
You're not going to get votes that way on that show for 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
I don't think he was being a douchebag. I think he was being honest.
But, I do, too. But I'm saying
he was detriment.
Yeah, he wasn't. He's not interested in playing the pop star game. That's not the lane he wants to be in. And it finally bit him in the ass.
Well, and now he's on the off ramp, so he doesn't have to worry about what lane he's in anymore. And speaking of American Idol, Roger Daltrey apparently was one of the finalists to be a new judge on that show.
Oh, no kidding!
Yeah, legendary lead singer for The Who. But Fox executive Mike Darnell tells Rolling Stone magazine this week that the reason they didn't hire him was because he was too well dressed.
What?
He said he looked like a regular guy. His hair was cut short, he was wearing nice clothes, he had lost all of his rock and roll charm. Steven Tyler, on the other hand, he said got the gig because he carries knives, wears feathers in his hair, and lots of heavy jewelry.
I believe it.
Image is everything, even when you're a rock star.
Yep.
Roger Daltrey's like, really? I have to dress up like a clown for you? Do you know what I've done over the past 50 years?
My work doesn't speak
some of the greatest rock music ever.
Maybe they saw the halftime of Super Bowl. It could have been a problem.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Seinfeld is 57 years old today. What's up with that? I finally caught up with that special on HBO with him and Louis C.K. and Chris Rock and Ricky Gervais sitting around talking about comedy. Funny, but more informative than anything else. Very fascinating.
Yeah.
Kate Mulgrew, very talented actress, is 56 years old. Daniel Day-Lewis is 54. Michelle Pfeiffer is 53. That is the picture of what you want 53 to look like.
That is a good 53.
She's ridiculous. Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch is 53 also. Not as much as Michelle Pfeiffer. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips is 43. Uma Thurman turns 41 years old today. And Master P celebrates his birthday today. He is 41 years old today. Can I hear your Master P again, please?
Pretty close.
Sounds like you need some brand, Kevin. I'm Ross Garvin. Walk the showbiz beat.
What are you going to do with yourself? Lisa, how are you going to go on? How are you going to...
I'll just buy all the magazines with all the pictures.
Sure.
You know, right. And just sit at home and drink and watch those.
Yeah.
Look at those.
Just watch the video over and over again.
Put on my tiara.
Sure.
I'm on online right now in the gallery of the 14 most awesome hats at the wedding, so we got that to look forward to. They're starting to now break it down like a sporting event. And I did see one funny thing. By the way, Shannon, you hang on. We're going to get to you in 1 second. We want to talk to people who are still up from watching the royal wedding. You set your alarm and got up or decided to just stay up all night so that you wouldn't miss a precious second of your royal wedding. We want to talk to you at 1-800-520-1067. I did see one thing funny, though. The new term that has been coined for Kate, Princess Kate, is that she is a quilf. She's the first quilf that we've had.
A queen I'd love to?
Yeah,
really?
Awesome.
That is true.
She's probably not going to be a queen for about 60 years, but
so let's hold off on quilf.
We can still call her a quilf, though, because I think that's awesome. If you missed it, though, here is the moment from inside Westminster Abbey today where it all became official.
Those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.
I love this guy, by the way.
For as much as William and Catherine have consented together in holy wedlock, and have witnessed the same before God and this company, and thereto have given and pledged their troth either to other.
I think he's the Archbishop of Canterbury.
And have declared the same by giving
and
receiving
a ring
and by joining of hands.
Here we go.
I pronounce that they be man and wife together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
And I will tell you this, Kevin.
Amen.
You should have been there because they did do the thing. If anybody has any reason why this couple should not be married, speak now or forever hold their peace. And I thought that's the money moment right there for Kevin.
I would have stood up and said, remember Princess Diana! Your life is over, Kate. Don't do it.
That would have been so awesome if somebody had done that. That's the most awkward moment. I don't know. Maybe in a place like that, they don't have to worry about it. But at regular people weddings.
No, they have snipers at a place like that. You stand up, they take you out.
I don't know why that has survived the modern marriage.
I don't think it has. I've been to several weddings where they don't ask that anymore.
Maybe they're learning. Yeah. Because I've seen enough YouTube videos where some drunk guy in the crowd gets up who used to date the bride, and it's too much of a risk to make an opening like that.
By the way, you're making an opening like they're already walked down the aisle. They're already going through with it. They're not going to stop because somebody stands. Right. I don't know why that ever existed.
Well, the reason it existed is for fraud reasons. So that somebody...
Oh, he's already married to me.
Yes, exactly. Oh, to give somebody the opportunity to stand up and say she's underage or whatever the reason is that they can't legally be married. It's an opportunity to give that information to the person performing the ceremony. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You planned your night around the royal wedding. How did it go for you? Let's talk to Shannon. She's on line one. And I assume it's going to be all ladies this time around on the Kevin Bean Show. But Shannon, thanks for calling us. Are you tired?
Yeah, just a little bit. Good morning, guys.
What a great night, huh?
It was wonderful.
So you stayed up and watched the royal wedding starting at what time?
Actually, I've been waiting for it for about a week, and I set my alarm. I stayed up from 1 to 2.
Okay, so you started watching the pre-show coverage at 1 o'clock a.m.?
Yes.
All right. And then the wedding was at 3. Were you awake by then?
Yes, I was. I woke back up for that part of it. It was great. I saw Diana get married. I had to see him get married, too. It was great.
Now, why do you care about these people? I mean, look, we're not under Britain's thumb anymore. I mean, we've been pretty much our own country for a long time. And one of the things about America is that we don't pass down power. You have to make it on your own. Why do you care about William just because of who his parents are?
Just the whole royal thing, the whole monarchy. It's just neat. It's just fascinating to watch.
It seems farcical to me. Is that the right word, B?
Yes.
It seems outdated, dumb.
Like we all finally went,
you know what? This is stupid. Let's stop doing this.
That's what makes it interesting is the traditions, I think.
Stupid.
Well, it is. Because the person who's next in line is Prince Charles. There's never been a person less qualified to do anything on this planet than Prince Charles. The only reason he's next in line is because who his parents are, and he had nothing to do with that.
I wouldn't hire Prince Charles to mow my lawn,
right.
Much less run a country.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, do you think Prince Charles is going to be a good king?
No.
Okay, good.
Isn't it a little bit retarded that he's going to be the king because he's in no way qualified for it? Doesn't that just punch holes in the monarchy? What they do is they eliminate the monarchy and let the prime minister run the country that the people elected.
The prime minister does run the country. What does the king do now?
He makes people bow.
Yeah, he could be good at that.
Exactly. What does the queen do now? She just looks cool in big hats. I mean, come on. It's just,
but let me. I heard a statistic this week that it costs almost $300 million a year for the royal family. Wow. Now, for that money, as a taxpayer, I think I would want more than looks good in a hat.
She doesn't even look good in a hat anymore.
Shannon, what'd you think of the ceremony itself?
I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Kate looked wonderful, of course. And William, he always looks nice.
He's a zero, though.
He's just a bald, no personality mother effer, isn't he?
He is losing his hair quite early.
Very fast. Yeah.
His hair will all be gone by
Christmas.
Listen to Shannon. Here's how invested she is. And by the way, we're not ragging on you because lots of people agree with you, Shannon. Lots of people feel like you do.
But you say how cute
Prince William is. If you saw him next to you at the Safeway, you'd never look at him twice. He'd just be a dork in line.
Oh, hell no. I'd run up to him and give him a hug.
Yeah, because
no,
you know
if
who he
is. Prince William.
If he wasn't Prince William, but he looked just like that.
You would never think he was cute.
I still think he was nice looking.
All right. You've been missing too many. You've been staying up too long and missing too many.
But then you'd walk up and talk to him and go, wow, what a zero.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Shannon.
Get some sleep, Shannon. Let's talk to Leah. She stayed up all night drinking, apparently.
All right.
She's calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Leah. What's going on, sweetheart? How can we help you?
Top of the morning to you guys.
To you as well.
Top of the morning. Why are you sad? What's going on? Why were you drinking all night?
Because it's so beautiful, and I know that I would never have that, just the whole carriage ride, everything. That's why I've been drinking since 1 o'clock.
Drinking since 1?
Because her life is so perfect and so beautiful, and yours is so mundane and so ordinary?
Right. I mean, I don't even have any boyfriend on the horizon, and
well,
then this perfect thing happens, and I'm like sitting here crying, drinking vodka. It's just
wow.
It's terrible.
All right. I hate to be the one that bursts your bubble, but that's not a perfect world. It's meant to look like a perfect world so that you look at it and sob, but there's a lot of miserable people over there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, remember Princess Diana? She hated Prince Charles from day one, and he hated her.
That's right. That's why he married Camilla.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So,
being the princess isn't the perfect world that you're imagining it is. So that should make you feel a little bit better, is to know that in about a week or so, Kate is going to be just as miserable as everyone else.
I mean, but the venue and the people that were singing,
well, the venue was sweet.
Yeah. Oh my God, the venue was sweet. You were so right about that.
And the carriage? Amazing.
It doesn't seem like, Leah, you and I have a chance to get married at Westminster Abbey. That's what you're suggesting.
Right.
But, I mean, here's the other thing I was thinking about in the few minutes that I saw it today. It's a reality television show is what it is. She basically was plucked out of nowhere, just like a contestant on Survivor or Celebrity Apprentice or any of these shows, and she won. She won the contest, and this is her prize. This is what she gets.
Well, maybe she had the best snuggles, you know?
Huh?
You know, wow. Snuggles, kisses.
Snuggles?
I don't want to, like...
The reasons are stacking up why Leah doesn't have a man, by the way.
Leah, get used to it. Keep drinking.
All right, keep drinking. That's all you can do. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we want to hear from you, too. I am fascinated by the ladies that we're talking to. 1-800...
And if there are any men.
Yeah, right. That'll happen. 1-800-520-1067. Tell us about your night and your thoughts after watching the royal wedding. We'll take your calls after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tents, tiaras, and a few tears on the streets of London as a million people turn out to see Prince William and Kate Middleton get married. That happened a couple of hours ago. Of course, who knows, a billion plus around the world watching it on television, another few hundred million watching it online. A lot of ways to get the royal wedding this time around. But we're talking to Kevin and Bean listeners right now. Hello, ladies, who stayed up all night to watch the wedding at 1-800-520-1067. What are you feeling? Are you now sad like our last caller Leah was because your life will never compare to their fairy tale romance? Let's talk to Tanya first. She called us. She got off work at 11 o'clock last night and did not go to bed. Tanya, you're still up. How are you feeling?
Taking a sip of wine after party.
All yeah. after party. Nice.
Now you're taking today off, I hope.
No. I go to work at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
All right.
So
yeah.
Okay. So you can go to sleep right after we have this call. Was the wedding everything that you hoped it would be?
Who needs sleep?
Right.
After a wedding like that, it was amazing. It was balls off the wall.
It was what? Balls off the wall?
Balls off the wall.
All right.
What were your favorite parts, Tanya?
Oh, what a question.
What did you like about it?
I love seeing Prince Harry. He is like...
A zero.
Harry's got some personality. Harry's okay, yeah.
Harry's awesome.
But William's a zero. William's a zero, though. You're right. We're right about that, right?
I wouldn't say, he seems like a nice guy. I wouldn't, hug him at the grocery line or anything, but...
Really? You wouldn't go so far as to hug him in a grocery line?
No, he looks like my sister's ex-husband, so probably not.
Yeah.
Are you another sad, lonely, older woman who'll never have a man, Tanya, like most of the other ladies we're talking to today?
No, not at all. I'm vibrant, youthful-ish, but I'm definitely not sad.
Are you married and or do you have a boyfriend? Or both?
I am drinking alone at 6:30 in the morning, so I would say none of the above.
That tells us everything we need to know
I saw you guys at the singles party. We met.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, cool. So, Cade, what'd you think of Cade? Was she good?
What kind of question is that?
I'm trying to get her to talk about her thoughts
she
during the wedding.
Boring, so he's asking those dumb questions.
Seriously, what did you think of Cade?
Dress was beautiful. I thought she was stunning, and that she was top notch.
Here's my problem with the royal wedding: is that Cade's never going to strip down and show it all.
No, she's not.
Right?
That's true.
Like, this guarantees that. So that, to me, it's a balance sheet negative. She's hot. She should strip it off and show it. All right, let's move on.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's just take one more, and let's talk to a dude. Let's talk to Logan. He's on line one, and he had to endure the royal wedding.
Sweet. Logan?
Yeah, what's up?
You watched the royal wedding, dude.
Absolutely.
You're the only guy that we have had call.
You may be the only guy in America. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what. I saw this royal wedding as an opportunity.
Okay.
Because my wife absolutely adored it, and she was keeping track of it, and she wanted to see it. And so I viewed it as the same reason why I watched chick flicks with her, too.
Okay. All right. To get laid.
Huh?
To get laid. Right. I got it. I mean,
absolutely.
You have to bite the bullet sometimes. You go, I'd love to watch that with you, honey.
So does she gets all romantic and sexy when she sees something like this?
Yep.
What are you doing talking to us on the phone, man? Go to it.
Already went to it.
Well, you know what? I didn't really pay attention to the wedding per se because the entire time I was thinking of that one line that would make things go my way.
Right. How'd that one line go?
It went good. It was right after they said I do or whatever, and I looked at my wife. I'm like, honey, watching this wedding, it just really reminded me of just how much, I'm happy to be married to you. And, I know you think Kate's beautiful, but, when I saw you, nobody could absolutely come close to how beautiful
you are. Wow, you are tarred. Seriously, I'm the only one applauding, but we're all thinking it, man. No, that was
sweet.
That was good.
And even though this wedding was, beautiful and everything, our marriage is just magical.
The line's going on a little long now.
Yeah, sure is. I think you should have quit while you're at it. All right. Were you able to flip her over?
Well, that's the bottom line. I mean, otherwise it wasn't worth it.
Oh, my God.
Did you say yes?
Because
you could have had regular sex anytime. The royal wedding, man, that's when you bring out the big guns.
Well, let's just say it went well.
All right.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it right there. Thank you very much for the call, Logan.
Okay, thanks.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Mike writes in, maybe you guys should have a singles party for the single female royal wedding watchers and for Ralph's comic book geeks. Neither of them will ever meet anyone otherwise. Well, it's not a bad idea. We don't have a singles party plan, but if you are one of Ralph's people, if you are a comic book geek, we have, once again, passes for you for the premiere of Thor Monday night in Hollywood at the El Capitan. It opens up a week from today. This is one of the most highly anticipated movies of any genre of the whole year. So if you're down with Thor and you know your comic books. Boy, Ralph has really, he's got some people out there who know their superheroes and their comic books.
Yeah, he has questions that I don't even understand, and they get them one after another. Almost 100% of the people on the line get them. So he said, Ratchet it up a notch. Let's really make it difficult.
All right. So if you know your superheroes, we'll play another round, the final round for the week of Who's the Hero? We're looking for contestants right now to win Thor tickets, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on the Kevin and Bean. Movie Beat next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, because it's Friday, don't you know? Also, comedian Jim Jefferies coming up. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. You going to be with your people seeing Thor on Monday night, Ralph?
Hell yeah.
What do you think, Bean?
Woo!
Yeah.
He's going to be carried in on shoulders.
This
Ralph,
my people make me king.
Jeremy Renner is in this movie. Rene Russo, Anthony Hopkins, Chris Hemsworth. He's Thor. He plays the title character, right?
He does, yes. Yeah. You may remember him as Kirk's dad from the Star Trek reboot.
That's right. Yeah. And the beautiful Natalie Portman as well. So it looks like an amazing movie. It opens up a week from today, but you can see it next Monday at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, 1-800-520-1067. Let's play, what's it called?
Who is the hero?
Who's the hero? Who is the hero? You gotta guess the right hero to attend the night. You cannot be wrong and you gotta kick ass. So now let's see if you can guess right. Who is the hero?
Who is the hero? Today's game.
Now, Ralph, your people have been strong.
Yeah, well, they know their stuff.
They get all of them.
They know their stuff. We've done Secret Identity so far this week. We did catchphrases yesterday, and today we're going to do arch villains of some of our favorite comic book superheroes. Now, we don't want to make it too easy, so we're going to stay away from the A-list. We're not going to talk about Joker or Lex Luthor or Green Goblin. We're going to go a little deeper into the pantheon of villains. We're going to go like B and C-level villains to really test your knowledge and see if I name the supervillain, if you can name what superhero is their arch nemesis.
Who is the hero?
Let's talk to Carlos on line one. He's one of Ralph's people. He's playing for Thor tickets. Carlos, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Carlos, if you're right, we're going to put your name in a drawing, and we're going to pick one lucky winner, okay? Here is your villain, Killer Moth. Killer Moth.
That's a joke.
What hero fights Killer Moth?
That one is... Wait,
Killer Fabrice?
C-level, right? Not what? D-level?
No, B and C-level. This villain's been around for many, many years. Killer Moth.
Killer Moth. Oh.
Carlos, you have to admit you're not as big a geek as Ralph because you don't know this one, right?
I'm one of his people. I'm one of his
You're
people.
Not,
people.
Apparently.
Talk stuff with
Give
him,
us but, a guess. Guess. Just guess a hero. It would help. All right, we got to move on.
Daredevil.
Sorry, Carlos. No, Batman.
Well, who knew?
Batman. The Killer Moth?
Batman's villain, Killer Moth.
Did the Killer Moth ever make it onto the TV show, Ralph?
He did in the pilot presentation that they filmed for the creation of Batgirl. Because Killer Moth was the first villain that Batgirl ever fought in the comics and also in the TV
that
presentation.
That is not a very good villain.
Killer Moth.
I'm with the caller that's Z-level, by the way.
No, if he didn't even make the TV show. If you read Batman, you know who Killer Moth is. Still fighting him to this day. Sure. Started back in the 50s, that
You
character.
Can't rid yourself of the moth.
He's a killer.
is he a person who dresses up like a moth or is he a real moth?
He's a person who dresses up like a moth.
Okay, that's
not
fun.
A real moth.
That if you're going to pick an outfit, you don't go with moth.
It's a killer moth.
I'm just saying.
You couldn't handle Killer Moth.
All right, let's go to Mario.
Nor the Firefly, by the way, for that matter. You couldn't handle him either.
Hi, Mario.
Hey, how's it going?
Mario, did you know Killer Moth?
Nah, I don't think anybody knows.
All right, good.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That's got to be pressed for time. Got to think of somebody really quick.
Sweet. Incorrect, sir.
I love it.
Okay. Right, here is your villain. Let's see if you can choose the hero that battles Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo, that is Captain America.
Correct.
Wow.
Well done.
Right on.
Well done.
Yeah. Wow, all right.
Hold on, you're in the drawing.
Now, could Captain America take on the Killer Moth? Would that be? Is that
no
something
way.
That
It'd
he
be
can
tough.
Handle,
It'd be a tough battle.
Really? Okay.
Killer Moth is a killer.
Mateo. By the way, how fascinating is this, by the way? Every call, you know, for the royal wedding is chicks, is lonely chicks. Every call for the Thor tickets, lonely dudes. What's going
They're
on
not
here?
Lonely. I bet all of them are getting tons of tail.
None of them have ever been on a date.
Yeah, they're hanging out with each other.
No, they got tons of tail.
All right, Mateo, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Mateo, you got tons of tail, don't you?
All the time.
That's what I'm talking
sure.
about.
All the time, he lied.
All right, here's your villain. You have to tell me the hero.
All right.
Star Sapphire.
Um,
Gotta take a guess if you don't know.
I'm gonna go with.
Finish that sentence.
Superman.
No, I'm sorry. Green Lantern. Battlestar.
Oh, everyone knows that.
Come on, Mattel. You're embarrassing me.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God,
you know, the secret of Star Sapphire is his own girlfriend, Carol Ferris, taken over by an evil gem. So. Well, everybody knows who Star Sapphire is.
Of course.
These are easy. These
we're
are easy,
Ralph,
people.
To make it harder today.
These are easy.
We're losing Ralph.
Let's go to Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Paul, did you know Star Sapphire?
I would have guessed something, but maybe not that one.
Oh, okay. Oh, how about Killer Moth? Did you know Killer Moth?
No, I didn't know that.
That's wow. Well, you're not going to know this one either, then.
Yes, he will. Yeah. All right, here's your villain, the Rhino.
Fantastic Five.
No, I'm sorry.
Damn it.
The Rhino, Spider-Man. Spider-Man is his arch nemesis. Battles the Rhino.
Rhino.
Fantastic Five, by the way. You're one over
there. I was
going
to say, I don't know anything about that world, but I know it's the Fantastic Four.
All right. So far, Mario is the only one in the running, by the way, for the tickets for Thor. Let's see how Steve does. He's on line five. Hey, Steve. Thanks for calling the Kevin Abin Show. You ready to play?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. Here we go.
Steve, how you been doing so far with these other ones?
Oh, you know what? Very terrible.
Wow.
All
right. That's a bad sign. All right, here's your villain. See if you can tell me the hero who battles the Mirror Master.
The Mirror Master.
Ralph is making him up now. This is a practical joke on the caller.
Don't come at me. I'm going to put a mirror in your way.
How about a guy who can walk into mirrors and walk out of mirrors? If you're in your house and you got a mirror, oh, the next thing you know, Mirror Master's in your house because it came out of your mirror. That's got to suck.
Well, the way you describe it, yes. All right, superhero.
The Mirror Master. I'm going to go with Hulk.
No, Hulk. I'm sorry, sir. Mm. The Flash. The Flash battles Mirror Master. One of Flash's Rogues Gallery, of course.
Steve, you should be proud you didn't know that. All
you
right,
shouldn't
let's
be proud. These are easy.
Let's take one more. It's going to be Justin on line six. He's our final contestant to see if he joins Mario in the running for the tickets. Hi, Justin. How you been doing so far?
Pretty good, other than Mirror Master. I knew every other one.
Okay, good. Good luck.
All right, here's your villain.
Here's your villain. Typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary is Daredevil's villain.
Correct.
Daredevil, there you go.
Well done.
Well, we knew Justin was on it, man. Well done. All right, so it's either going to be Mario or it's going to be Justin. Who's going to see Thor, El Capitan in Hollywood on Monday night, Lisa?
All right, wait, I got to mix them up a little bit.
Yeah, there's just two of them.
Two of them, it's difficult to
just
mix,
two.
Mix. And Mario is our winner.
Mario! The new Baron Zemo, of course, battles Captain America. Baron Zemo!
Nicely done, Mario. Thanks for playing the game.
Who is the hero?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:55.
Yo, Kevin and Bean, Brian writes in, I knew all of Ralph's questions. All of them, including Killer Moth and Mirror Master. Damn, your phone lines, I couldn't get through. P.S. Test Ralph's knowledge and ask him. You up for a question, Ralph? You have to be a contestant from Brian?
Sure. What do I win?
Which hero fights Brick?
Brick. That is Green Arrow.
You're going to Thor. Congratulations. Wow. You've just won tickets to see Thor Monday night at the El Capitan.
There's a certain level where you shouldn't celebrate that.
How dare you,
level
sir.
Of knowledge.
Kevin hates anyone.
That was unrehearsed. That was a cold
That's
question.
Correct.
Just came
that
to
was.
Me.
It
Boom.
Was.
Boom shakalaka, suckers.
I think what Kevin is saying is if you know Brick fights Green Arrow, you're like the guy who knows pi to 4,000 places.
Correct.
At some point, you need to turn your attention to other things
women.
In life.
I don't know, women.
Smooth move, Ferguson. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's Ralph's problem is he doesn't get enough women, Kevin.
That's true.
All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph. What's going on?
I was a nerd who got laid. I was the exception that proved the rule.
A rare... All your friends went, what was it like? Tell me what it was like.
Salty. I don't even know what that means, but first thing that came to my mind. Speaking of superheroes, as we were just mere moments ago, big breaking news this week. You know, Superman 900, issue 900 was released this week.
Sure.
It's a landmark issue.
Of course.
900 issues of Superman comics.
900's the big one, right? That's the one you really look forward to.
Well, it's just a little...
Let's not go overboard.
It's just, you know, it's a big landmark.
It's not as good as 1,000. 1,000
would be even
saying.
Bigger, I'm assuming. In this issue, Superman has renounced his U.S. citizenship.
Oh.
No!
Is that live?
Yeah.
Did you do that live?
No, that was me. That was Dave.
Oh.
Truth, sweet. Justice, and the American way is not enough anymore, Superman says. Because the world's too small, too connected. He doesn't want his actions to be construed as instruments of U.S. policy, so he is renouncing his U.S. citizenship so that he can be a citizen of the world and help people worldwide.
How about Clark Kent? Is he also going to renounce his citizenship? Because isn't that going to create trouble for him?
Clark Kent said he's going to be a Canadian. No, I'm really? Kidding. I'm kidding. No, he's gonna stay. He's going to stay an American. But Superman, now a citizen of the world.
How about that? Yeah.
Thanks for that important update.
It is important.
Could Superman handle the Killer Moth?
Oh, pretty easily. I was just saying, Killer Moth is dangerous and all that. You're wrong.
You go killer, and then let's think of the least threatening thing possible. Moth.
Hey,
this what a terrible, terrible
haven't you
villain.
Ever looked in your closet and found all kinds of holes in your clothes?
Yeah, but I'm not
clothes?
Afraid of the moth.
No, that's just the moth. What if the moth could kill you then? What if it put holes inside of you instead of your clothing? You know, you couldn't handle the Killer Moth. He would wipe you out.
I did not see this conversation in my future when I woke up this morning.
Looks like 2.5 Men is going to go on without Charlie Sheen. How about that?
Not possible, according to Charlie. Can't do it. No
can do. Hollywood Reporter says that series producer and creator Chuck Lorre is working on a reboot of the popular series without Charlie. Told John Cryer that the revised series would involve a significant role for him, obviously, and an introduction of a yet-to-be-cast brand-new character opposite John.
It's over.
Hollywood Reporter says Lorre and CBS and Warners want to have everything in place to announce the new show before the CBS upfronts, which is where they premiere their new season for advertisers, and that happens in mid-May.
Okay.
So we should know in a couple weeks what's going
on. Are they going to have a new kid? Because that kid's like 25.
Yeah, he's just a big blob of a man now. He's really not half a man. He's not like three men.
You're going to need a kid.
Yeah.
He is bigger than John Cryer now.
And he's got a little brain damage or something going on. It's a little depressing to watch him now be that stupid at 25.
I'm going to pass.
I think we leave John and just bring in some new folks. That's what I think. Interesting casting news. Elizabeth Banks has been signed for the eagerly anticipated sci-fi movie Hunger Games. In the film, she will play Effie Trinket, a pink-haired hooker.
All right.
Who helps prepare a couple of teenagers for a fight-to-the-death journey with otherworldly forces.
Hookers are known for that.
Well, she's a hooker with a heart of gold.
They're teaching.
This Hunger Games is a huge franchise of, is it books, Ralph?
Yeah, yeah, books, by yeah. Suzanne Collins.
You should know about them being there. They're shooting at the 10, 11-year-olds.
Yeah, I guess I haven't read those yet.
All right. The books will probably be turned into a trilogy of films.
Some of us like to stay current.
Say, insiders. Do you know because your girls read Hunger Games? Liam Hemsworth.
They've read more books than you have, haven't they, Kevin?
Definitely.
Liam Hemsworth, Chris's brother, Josh Hutcherson, and Jennifer Lawrence are all going to star in the film as well. So, good cast. And Ben Kingsley will be co-starring with Sacha Baron Cohen.
What?
Finally. Those two are together.
Their new film together called The Dictator.
The Dictator.
It's directed by Larry Charles, who directed, of course, Borat and Bruno. He'll be doing this film as well. This film will be about a dictator who risks his life to ensure that democracy never comes to his country that he so lovingly oppresses. Sasha will play both the foreign ruler and a goat herder in the film. He's got two roles.
Oh, no. He's Eddie Murphy-ing it up.
Well, he can do it. He's got enough talent. Yeah. More than enough. And if you want to find that new band fronted by ex-Oasis member Liam Gallagher, BDI is going to make its U.S. television debut on The Late Show with David Letterman. The appearance is scheduled for June the 22nd. And then right after the taping, BDI will be doing a Live at Letterman concert event at the Ed Sullivan Theater that you can see webcast on CBS.com. They're starting to do this now. Whatever musical artist, well, not all, but several musical artists will do Letterman. Then they'll stick around and do a live concert, and you can watch it online. Foo Fighters just did
That's
it recently.
Cool. It's great.
Like
it's great.
That. You can check it out. I think Letterman is the last bastion of sort of cool musical guests.
Yeah.
It used to be Saturday Night Live would have sort of cutting edge, new, interesting musicians. Now they just do pop stars and big hit stars and stuff. But Letterman still, I don't know why, but he still brings in interesting musical artists to watch on his show. Maybe it's the Paul Schaefer influence or something.
And Carson Daly, too, by the way. I got to give him credit for his
show. I mean,
shows
that are on television.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel, too, by the way.
Jimmy does a pretty good job.
Tonight Show's out.
Yeah. They don't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jerry Seinfeld is 57 years old today. Kate Mulgrew turns 56. Daniel Day-Lewis is 54. Michelle Pfeiffer, 53, as is Eve Plum, who played Jan on The Brady Bunch. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips is 43. Uma Thurman is 41. And Master P celebrates his 41st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Yeah!
Monday morning, 7:15. I can't say anything, but it rhymes with Schmeenishmost.
Bum, 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 bum.
Details, it is 11 minutes after 7.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. The co-creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, Phil Rosenthal, is going to be in. He's got a fascinating documentary about what it's like to try to export a hit U.S. television show to Russia. You wouldn't think that would be that tough, right? Comedy's universal. You're going to be surprised. That's coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, comedian Jim Jeffries will be here, too. Ralph was telling us a couple of days ago in the showbiz about Alejandra Jackson. I was not familiar with her. She is not a missing Jackson kid that we didn't know about. She used to be married to two of the Jackson brothers and has had five kids with them. We wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave if he could hook up the hotline to heaven. And sure enough, we've got it on the phone. Michael Jackson from beyond.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Woo! How are you, man?
Jam out.
You sound good today. You sound happy.
Woo! The way you make me feel.
Wow.
Are you, why are you in a good mood?
Because I'm in heaven.
Oh, all right.
Because you're in heaven.
Every day's fun in heaven.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question, Michael. I know it seems oddball, but trust me, it makes sense to our listeners.
Hold on. I don't go for anything oddball, okay?
That's true.
I don't like anything out of the norm.
You're straight down the middle.
I am just a regular fella.
Sure.
But, but go ahead.
You're in heaven. Could you take the killer moth if you had to?
No, he's tough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he really? Too powerful?
He's tough. Wow. Very difficult villain that everyone knows about.
Everyone knows about, right?
Everyone knows it.
Right now, we know.
People up in heaven here were screaming during that game.
Really?
Oh, were they? Okay, they were listening.
Don't people in heaven know all?
Not all.
Okay.
It's a few idiots.
Okay. Right, but Killer Moth. That
Killer Moth. Everyone knows that.
All right. Okay. All right, here's the Alejandra Jackson is the name I just mentioned. Do you remember her from your time on Earth?
Of course. Of course I remember. She was the boyfriend of Randy and wife of Jermaine.
She was the girlfriend?
Yes. That's what I meant to say.
Right, right.
Randy was her boyfriend.
Right, right.
Right.
Right. And so she's a hoe, basically. She had sex with and kids with two of your brothers.
It's that kind of evil thoughts and just meanness that I'm glad I'm not even alive for anymore.
Okay, but wait, she did, right?
She's a lovely, lovely woman.
Yes, but she had kids
who will spread her legs for anybody.
Two of your brothers. I mean, that's an odd thing.
She loved two men who just happened to be brothers.
I see.
The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want Randy.
Uh-huh. Careful.
Sometimes you want Randy's brother, Jermaine.
Careful.
Sometimes you want, I don't know, someone that Chuck E. Cheese's.
Okay, let's move on from that and say Alejandra.
I'm not saying who's at Chuck E. Cheese's. Could be the manager of Chuck E. Cheese's.
Could be a grown-up. Could be an adult.
Could be
of course it could.
A 42-year-old guy inside of a Chuck E. Cheese costume.
It could be, I guess.
It's your filthy mind that went someplace else when I said Chuck E. Cheese's.
Alejandra is the house guest who wouldn't leave, according to TMZ. They did everything they could to try to get her out of the house once you died. She refused to go. They offered her a condo. They were going to give her a free house to live in.
They were giving her a condom.
Well, that's true with all those kids. But she would not sign the confidentiality agreement, so she refused the free condo. And now, Michael Jackson, wouldn't you know, she's writing a tell-all book about you and your family.
Jam out!
That's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You think I am weird? What do you hear about Randy?
Really? I never heard anything weird about
you're
Randy.
You're the weirdest of all, Michael.
No, see?
What?
That's what people think. That's why they're mistaken.
Oh.
I'm the normal one.
What?
Yes. We're not even sure Randy's human.
Is that right?
Oh, come on.
He may be an android brought here from the future to kill LaToya.
So you're not worried about this book?
Upcoming plastic surgery apocalypse.
Well, maybe so. That could happen.
Everyone just has two nostrils in the front of their face instead of a nose.
But LaToya looks just like you, Michael. Haven't you noticed?
My nose was small. Don't get me wrong. But LaToya, she looks like... who's the guy from Harry Potter?
I don't know.
Voldemort.
Yeah, she's just a big snake face.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's your sister.
Creepy.
So, So you're not worried about this book, in other words. You think you'll be fine.
Ow!
That just happened.
Sorry, I hit a microphone up here in heaven. I'm not worried about the book, no.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I'm dead.
Right.
Well, then what can they do to you?
What's the worst they can do to me, really?
Well, it seems like you have a lot of secrets that you wouldn't necessarily want out. Randy has more, though, huh?
Dead.
Dead. Yeah,
worse,
dead.
Worse for the living.
Okay.
More embarrassing, I think, for the living.
Okay.
With right. that book that comes out.
I can see that.
Okay, one more thing, Michael, since we have you on. And
I'm worried about Joshua, really, of all the brothers.
There was
I'm afraid Fringe is going to get canceled, man. I don't know. He's going to have to move back to the house.
He's not your real brother, though. You know that, That's right? You're not related to him.
Wait till you read the book.
Oh, something else we don't know. Yeah. Hey, real quick, Michael, while we have you on the line here, is it true that the guy who created Cirque du Soleil, the president of that organization, is meeting with Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas about recreating the Neverland Ranch as a tourist destination in Vegas?
Yes, I couldn't be more excited that my legacy of Neverland will live on in Las Vegas, one of my favorite cities in the world. And they're going to have it at the hotel and casino.
Okay.
And they're going to be rides, just like at Neverland.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have to be shorter than this sign to ride a lot of the rides.
Right.
Especially the bedroom ride.
There's a ride in the bedroom?
The bedroom ride.
When you have a height
the
thing,
Jesus
isn't it?
Juice.
Don't
Jesus
you
juice will be served at the bar in those collectible glasses.
Don't you usually have to be taller than this line?
Moving on, there's the collectible glasses that are shaped, they're long and plastic, and they're tubular. You've seen these cups in Vegas, haven't you?
Michael.
Yeah.
And you drink out of them with a straw.
Right.
Straw.
Right.
You suck on it to drink it.
Okay,
all right.
I shouldn't have asked. I'm sorry.
I need to draw you guys a picture.
No. You don't. I think we got it.
Pretty clear on that.
Jammo!
Okay, Michael. Listen, have a great weekend in heaven. Thank you for joining us today.
I haven't told you about the ballroom yet.
There's we don't want to hear about the ballroom.
A room full of balls.
Nope.
That the kids play in.
Gotta go.
And there's a guy at the bottom.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 726.
What we're saying, Ralph, is it's not like a killer whale. A killer whale can actually kill you.
So
a killer, moth,
a killer moth.
A killer moth just puts holes in your sweaters in the closet.
It's
That's what a moth does.
It's not a moth. It's a guy who will kill you. He's dangerous and will kill you. Killer is in his name.
I'm afraid
now.
But
he dresses up like a moth.
He's like, oh, serial killer. Oh, I'm not afraid of Rice Krispies. That's what cereal is. Doesn't bother me. Killer still kills.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. This one could break the family apart. The fact that we refuse to be terrified by the killer moth, it may be the last straw for Ralph.
It's this kind of trauma that creates villains. And I may just leave and become a supervillain and just become your archenemy.
Oh, that'd be
and
tough.
And then you'd have to deal with me, and you don't want that.
We don't.
It's Friday. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
While we're talking about comic books, one of the movies coming out this week is based on a very popular comic book, Dylan Dog. Night of the Dead is the name of the film. Brandon Routh stars as the titular Dylan Dog. Dylan Dog is a private investigator who works... Well, his clients are basically the undead.
His clients are the undead.
You know, zombies.
All right.
And vampires, werewolves, that sort of thing.
Sure.
He travels in those circles.
All right.
He lives and works in New Orleans. And as you can imagine, Dylan is there to kind of keep those creatures away from the general population. He allows the general population to believe they're just stories and fairy tales, but he knows better.
Okay.
And in this movie, he's got to prevent a war from breaking out amongst his werewolf, vampire, and zombie clients. Here is... we don't have a scene from that. That's too bad. Brandon Routh stars Sam Huntington and Taye Diggs also in that film. We do have a scene from Prom, however, for the kids this weekend. It's a Disney film about prom. You know, prom.
Sure.
Going to prom.
Right.
Finding someone to go to prom with.
Right.
Those are your big issues.
Sure.
In this film, Thomas McDonald stars also Nicholas Braun. Buddy of mine who stars in Red State is also in this film. Very talented guy. It's a group of high school students. They get ready for their prom, and there's a heartbreak, and there's new love, and there's things like that there. Here's a scene where Jesse, who is sort of the way cool outside bad boy guy, is like, sure. I don't need no damn prom. But he happens to fall in love with a beautiful young girl who's having a hard time finding someone to go to the prom with, and his heart his heart of stone begins to melt, I'd say.
That's sweet.
Here's a scene where Jesse's helping her with the prom.
You think it's funny when people's hard work gets destroyed?
It's just a bunch of dumb prom decorations. Oh, wait, no. Prom's ruined. The boys and girls of Brookside have been robbed of their right to stand around in a gym and drink punch. Put the flags at half mast.
I got a better idea. You're going to help her rebuild.
Him. Mr. Dunnan, I really don't think...
Little Miss Sunshine's right. You should listen to her.
This prom isn't rebuilt to her specifications. You won't graduate.
You can't do that. You can't keep me from graduating.
You know what? I had a talk with myself about that. Turns out I'm okay with it.
Bam! Bam, Jesse! You will be schooled!
You know who is looking forward to going to see this movie, Ralph?
You, Bean.
The King of Mexico.
Dave.
Oh, Amy Teagarden from Friday Night Lights is so hot. I may have to go see her in this movie.
I can't wait to see Prem. By the way, I'm going to watch Prem.
Dave's looking forward to Prem, so is Bean.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wait, why don't we catch a matinee together, Dave, while we're in town?
Dave is coming to visit me in a couple of weekends. Maybe so.
Oh, don't see with anyone else. Just wait and see with me. Where are those elastic band pants I love so much on you?
Dave and I did go see the Bieber movie together.
We know.
And the Britney movie.
Also opening up this weekend, Hoodwinked 2. You remember the popular animated film Hoodwinked?
No.
About Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf? Hood is back. Little Red Riding Hood is back. This time she's investigating the disappearance of Hansel and Gretel. Okay. I'd look in the witch's gingerbread house if I was her, but that's just me. That's where I'd go looking for clues. Here's a scene from the film where Little Red Riding Hood, played by Hayden Panettiere in the film, is facing off against Moss the Troll, voiced by our pal David Alan Greer. Scene from Hoodwinked 2.
Hi.
So, you think you can deliver that basket of goodies across my bridge, do you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. You did not just say that. I did not hear that. There ain't no way my bridge would be across by some muffin-delivering, red hood-wearing, fair-tale cliche little girl. Get up out of here.
Bring it.
Yeah. Bring it.
Riding Hood's got a little spunk in this one.
Yeah. Did they tell David Alan Greer to channel Amos and Andy from the 1930s with that read, by the way?
Oh. That is seriously. You and him.
Yes.
I'll let your racist comments stand until David gets here.
I'm not being racist. I'm just saying, doesn't that sound like the parody of how black people talked in old TV and movie shows? Nobody does that anymore.
That's sounds crazy. To me like he's doing a donkey-esque Eddie Murphy type performance in this animated film, being the racist.
All right, if you want to...
That's my new supervillain, being the racist.
He's the enemy of all superheroes.
And Fast Five opens up this weekend, another film that Dave the King of Mexico is looking forward to
too much. This one too, by the way.
Oh, please, Jesus in heaven. How can you be looking forward? You've seen this movie 4 times already.
Yeah, true.
It's them just in cars, just going fast.
There's a lot of good stunt work,
and they're
though.
Really, really furious
a
while they're
driving.
A lot of
good stunt work. A lot of good car driving.
Fast Five is the name of Fast and the Furious 5th installment. Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, and The Rock.
I'd be fine Dwayne if Vin Diesel Johnson. Were left out of this series,
no,
having said
it's,
that.
No, it's not for me. I got to be in it. We're going to die someday, but not today.
It scares me away.
This one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a federal agent who's dispatched to Rio to try to hunt down former cop, played by Paul Walker, and, of course, Dom Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, as they're assembling a final race in their plan to gain freedom from the man. Here's a scene between Paul Walker and Vin Diesel as they lay out their intricate plan in Fast Five.
So what's this all about, Dom?
Yeah, man, why'd you drag us halfway around the world?
Because we got a job.
All right, so our target's name is Hernan Reyes. He runs the drug scene down here. And he's never been busted because he doesn't leave a paper trail.
No paper trail means no banks. And no banks means cash houses.
That's right. 10 of them to be exact. Spread throughout the city.
And we're going to hit them all. So what we're talking about is $100 million.
You say what?
You enjoy that, Kevin. You let me know how that works out for you.
That clip didn't make me want to go see it more than I did. Maybe a little less.
A little less than you did, really?
A little bit less.
You don't hear Vin?
You're still
going to
go,
plans?
Though, right?
Probably.
Oh, of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then next, they just go to the theater next door and join Dave and see Prom. And I'll be over watching Dylan Dead talk to zombies. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up, we've got comedian Jim Jeffries on the program today. And also, believe it or not, Donald Trump continues to take credit for the president releasing his birth certificate. We'll talk about that on the way as well. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. First, though, you know, my theory is that all celebrities know each other.
Yeah, which of course is not true, but it just seems like they're them and we're us.
Right. They do seem, to, in my opinion, they're in some sort of a fraternity. If you are a celebrity and you run into another celebrity, you have the okay to go over there and act like they're your best friend for life because you're both in the club.
Of course.
A regular person sees a celebrity in a restaurant, uncool. Don't go up and talk to them. It's not your place. Not your job. You're not in the club.
Leave them alone. They're trying to have dinner with their family. You know.
Right. Now, I don't know if Gene Simmons and Larry King knew each other before they ran into one another at the California Pizza Kitchen the other night.
You would imagine that Gene had been on Larry's show at some point.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he's enough of a media whore that he's probably done every talk show in America. But they did run into each other at the California Pizza Kitchen. Larry King, by the way, 77 years old now.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons, no spring chicken. He's 61 years old. And apparently it wasn't just a wave and move on. Apparently they stopped and chatted with each other and with both of their families around, just stood there in the middle of the California Pizza Kitchen and just talk, because they're celebrities, so they have a lot in common.
Larry King and Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Luckily, the Kevin and Bean microphones were there, and this is what it sounded like.
This salad is terrific. Did you know Julius Caesar never once ate a Caesar salad?
You know, speaking of Julius Caesar, he had the bangs that came down into his forehead. Speaking of things that came down in the forehead, I remember I was with Jane Fonda in 1973 on the Kiss Destroyer tour, and she said to me, you know, just aim right here. Well, that's neither here nor there.
Jane Fonda, communist, you're on the air.
Speaking of communism, I remember I was in Da Nang playing with Kiss in 1975. I was with Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits, and I got this terrible...
The greatest kiss I ever had was from Angie Dickinson. Policewoman, great broad.
Great ass, too. I remember I was sleeping with Angie Dickinson in 1983 when we just got done playing Beth. I was at the Forum in Los Angeles, and I got off stage, and Angie Dickinson is right there, and she's wearing a chicken suit for some reason, and she says to me, Gene Simmons...
Speaking of chicken, the best chicken I ever had, a little place right around the corner from Wrigley Field. Fried chicken.
Speaking of Wrigley Field, I was chewing Wrigley gum with John Paul Jones at the Hyatt House in 1982, and next thing you know, we are hitting a girl in the face with a sturgeon, and she says to me, Gene, do you really need to do this? And I'm thinking to myself, why is she wearing Kiss makeup? I was the one who was on stage a little bit earlier.
The first people to chew gum were Aborigines. Tree bark. True story.
You know, the thing about Aborigines, giant vaginas. I remember we were playing Africa. It was 1981. And Paul Stanley and I are walking around Nigeria looking for blood diamonds.
I've never been to Africa and never will. Allergic to the tsetse fly.
Speaking of flies, I remember they were taking the picture for the cover of the Rolling Stones Sticky Finger album, right there with the fly. And they asked, can we use your fly, Gene Simmons? And I said, no, it could be too powerful an image. And people's corneas would burn right out of their face.
The first radio station I ever worked at was completely kerosene-powered. We later changed to coal-burning microphones, but the fumes killed three DJs. True story.
I remember the first time I heard Kiss on the radio. It was
speaking
a good
of true stories.
I was in Brooklyn,
hello,
New York.
Hello, waiter.
Walking down,
you're on the air.
And I was saying,
I need
to myself,
some more water.
You know, you have beautiful
and
hair.
And a glass of your finest Pinot Noir.
Hair. And I was slicking it back and I was
did
walking.
You know
and
Pinot
I
Noir
like
means
Monero. I
black
did.
Grape.
You know, if you've ever seen that movie.
Speaking of
Monero,
grapes,
actually,
my scrotum hangs
Japanese
so low.
Word,
I'm sitting on it right now.
It means tuna. It's a different type of tuna. It's tuna belly.
No dessert for us, thanks. Just the check.
Like the ahi thing.
He's picking it up.
Oh, that's right. I'll take it.
Good dinner, Gene.
It's a great dinner, Larry. Thank you.
You're terrific.
You're fantastic. Powerful and handsome.
Ralph Garman joins us again this hour for a look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
So Dave says to me, well, on one of my first visits, Bean and I did go see High School Musical 2.
Yep. Yeah.
So they've seen the Bieber movie together, the Britney Spears movie together, and High School Musical 2.
They're little girls, Bean and Dave. Little girls.
They should just have a pajama party and play Ouija and try to guess what the names of their future husbands are going to be.
Not my fault.
I don't think it is Dave's fault. I think Bean's more of a little girl than
Dave
is. I do
too.
I
think Bean is a bad influence. I think Dave's parents need to step in and maybe look at this relationship and see whether it's a good idea to let their son spend time with the old creepy guy on the island.
That's true.
Dave wants to go see Prem. We're going to go see Prem.
And by prem, of course, we mean prom.
Oh, look right at them dancing in prem.
Dave can't say any vowels correctly.
He cannot for some reason. All right, let's talk superheroes, shall we? It's been a good week for me. I've had a lot of superhero talk.
Yes, you have.
It's been fun. I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Thor!
but I want to give it to someone who knows a little something about Thor, a little something-something. So there's a little trivia question. If you're one of the first people through...
Killer Moth!
...with the correct answer, first two callers with the correct answer, 1-800-520-1067, you get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Thor. That happens Monday night in Hollywood.
Does he have a big nail as well with the hammer, the giant hammer? Does he have nails?
He's not a carpenter.
Okay. What does he use
the hammer
for?
He's not doing extreme makeovers.
What does he do the hammer?
He uses it to crush his enemies.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's a weapon itself.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
All right. Can you pull a nail out? A big nail?
It's not a claw hammer. Right. No, it's just a hammer.
Okay.
I need to know the name of Thor's home. Everybody comes from someplace. Where's Thor's home? What is the name of his home? 1-800-520-1067. Where does he come from? Call now. You know, Superman comes from Krypton.
Sure.
Everybody comes from someplace.
Right.
Where's
Thor
come from? The Edge wins.
Just in general?
Just in general, but also on a long battle he's been trying to win with the community agency in Malibu, California that was keeping him from building his home.
Ah.
He was battling the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy, and they said that he wouldn't be allowed to build his five mansions overlooking Malibu.
Five mansions?
Yes.
For himself?
Yes.
Five for himself?
Yes, Kevin. If you're in one mansion on Monday, do you want to live in the same mansion on Tuesday?
Yeah, no.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I'm pretty sure I'm fine with
that. You
want
to go next door to your other mansion, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wow. On the weekends, you can pick anyone you want.
I'd go with seven.
Some neighbors were upset because they thought the homes would ruin their view and upset the environment. But the board...
But mostly ruin their view.
But the board finally gave in and gave him permission to build his five mansions. Why? Because Edge agreed to pay $1 million to trail easements and consulting services to keep the environment intact around his properties.
It's blackmail.
It's a payoff, that's for sure. Yeah, for sure. So congratulations, The Edge. You've got the mansions.
Odd.
Brandon Davis of the billionaire Davis family is back in trouble. This is Greasy Monkey. No, not Greasy Monkey. Greasy Bear.
Greasy Bear.
Greasy Monkey's a whole different person. Yeah. He was in the Roosevelt Hotel Wednesday night when he allegedly punched comedian Ben Glebe. The men at the party were pulled apart, the cops were called, and when they searched Brandon Davis, they found a little party favor in his pocket.
Oh.
And I'm guessing by party favor in this story, it doesn't mean like one of those horns from New Year's Eve or something.
He wishes
like that.
That's what it was.
Yeah. He was arrested and charged with battery and possession of a controlled substance, so... We'll see how that shakes out for Mr. Davis.
Shocking for someone in their family to get in trouble with the law.
And with drugs, too. Yeah. I'm surprised.
Didn't he know the police were coming? Don't you go, hey,
I'm going to eat this.
Or I'm going to hide it or anything.
Or throw it away or something. And congratulations to Taboo of Black Eyed Peas. He's got another little bouncing baby boy in his life. He tweeted that his wife, Jamie, gave birth to their second child this week. Journey Jameson Gomez.
His name is Journey.
Yes. They've already got a one-year-old named Jalen, and Taboo has another son from another relationship named Joshua. So Joshua, Jalen, and Journey.
Journey loses.
This morning we said, is he the only person named Journey in the world? And then I was notified this morning that apparently Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz, one of their sons, is named Journey as well.
No kidding.
So it's taken on some popularity.
Now... How embarrassing is it going to be when Journey gets old enough and Taboo has to explain that he's in the Black Eyed Peas?
That will be embarrassing.
That's just a conversation that has to always be hanging over your head that one day I'm going to have to tell my kid that I'm in the Peas.
What's going to happen when Journey is replaced in the family by a little Filipino guy who sounds just like him?
Oh, that's a great question.
That's going to be even weirder, I think, for him to handle at some level. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Tip your waiters and waitresses. They work real hard for you.
Oh, sweet.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld is 57 years old today.
Hey, Ralph, sorry to interrupt. You want to talk to your winner real quick first?
God. Oh,
it's
sweet
your winner.
Jesus.
We didn't ask the question.
I know. Oh, so can I choose my own time to talk to my winner? Or do I have
you were
going to
do it after birthdays, were you?
Yes, I was. I was going to a little bonus, a little extra, little bonus DVD bonus
of the show.
I'm sorry, I thought maybe you'd forgotten.
No, okay. It's fine. Let's talk to Jim. Let's talk to Jim on line one. Jim?
Hello.
What is the home of Thor?
Asgard.
Asgard!
Yeah!
For the glory of Asgard!
Yes. And I knew the other questions too earlier.
All right,
you
take it easy.
You knew Killer Moth, did you?
I knew Killer Moth.
Good man. Take that's my easy, boy. Jim. Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Thor.
Thank you.
What a giant you're dork welcome. Fest that's going
to
be.
And David, congratulations to you as well. You're also one of
oh,
our
really?
Lucky
both
winners.
Guys again this hour?
How dare you.
And they're coming alone.
Other birthdays this morning: Daniel Day-Lewis, Kate Mulgrew, Michelle Pfeiffer, Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch, Carney Wilson, Uma Thurman, and Master P. I'll celebrate their birthdays today.
What?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Beer Mug, why have you had an ass full of Donald Trump?
Because he is all about him, and he's just, it's like, enough already. Shut up.
But he's the savior America has been waiting for.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He's the next president of the United States.
I'll tell you, he loves him.
Yeah.
He does love him.
No one loves being themselves more than Donald Trump.
A lot of people were surprised when President Obama bowed to the pressure of the birthers and actually released his long-form birth certificate. By the way, as we talked about yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, that's not doing anything to stop those people from still claiming that the whole thing's a fake and a fraud and it's a forgery and he really is still a Kenyan and blah, blah, blah. Didn't help at all.
Look, I don't care about his birth certificate. I think that was a sign of weakness. Why do that? What's the point? They're not going to accept it.
A lot of people are saying that. And Donald Trump, who has been out there on every radio and television station possible for the past month calling for the release of the birth certificate, was the first to step up to the microphone after he got out of his private helicopter with the name Trump on the side.
Sure.
And make these remarks.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Okay, that's strong already, right?
Already, on. I can see he's the man to lead.
Today, I am already very proud of me.
Today, I'm very proud of myself because I've accomplished something that nobody else has been able to accomplish. Our president has finally released a birth certificate. I'd want to look at it, but I hope it's true. I am really honored, frankly, to have played such a big role in hopefully, getting rid of this issue. Now, we have to look at it. We have to see, is it real? Is it proper? What's on it? But I hope it checks out beautifully. I am really proud. I am really honored.
I love that he's so glad, he says, to get rid of this issue, which is an issue that he kind of made bubble back up by going on all the TV shows and radio shows and saying, hey, I don't think he was born here. Hey, show us the birth certificate. He's the one who started talking about it all the time, and now he's complaining that people keep asking him about it.
Oh, no, it's a complete lie that he's happy that he came out with a birth certificate. In his best case scenario, he'd be able to keep riding that wave.
Maybe so. But
you also heard him doubt it very loudly. We need
absolutely.
To look at it. You know, it's
find out if it's real.
See what's on it.
Well, let's find out what Mr. Trump is up to next, because he joins us again here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Donald. How are you?
You're welcome. First of all,
we didn't doubt really. We don't care.
I know we all care very much about this. And finally, I'm very, very honored and proud to be the guy who made him release that certificate.
Where are you? It sounds like you're
in a cave.
I am deep in the interlocking tunnels and catacombs beneath Washington, D.C., looking for more secrets about Barack Obama.
Oh,
I've got my torch, and I'm looking for more deep guarded lies and secrets.
So the deep guarded lies and secrets, they write them down and then bury them underneath Washington?
Yes. Okay. I'm like the Indiana Jones of politics.
Okay.
All right. So are you, let's, before we talk about what other secrets you're hoping to uncover.
Look, there it is.
What?
Obama's children are robots.
Well, no, they're not robots. They're just little girls.
Small wonder?
Yeah, but
that's not. It's written right here in hieroglyphs on the wall.
It's not written in hieroglyphs.
The great communist Satan Kenyan will have children of machines.
Okay, they're not robots. The kids are not robots. So are you at least satisfied that the birth certificate is real, as every expert has attested to?
I hope it's real. I hope it is. But we have to look at it. We have to make sure it's certified and it's real.
Right.
And then hopefully we can put this to rest. after I win the election.
Now, your new thing, as I understand, Mr. Trump, is that you're claiming that President Barack Obama needs to release his transcripts from all of his higher education. You say he had middling to poor grades and should never have been admitted into Harvard, even though he did graduate, if I recall, magna cum laude.
I have proof that Barack Obama is illiterate. Cannot read, cannot write.
Well, of course he can read. He's written books. He reads from teleprompters all the time. Of course he can read.
He cannot speak English.
What are you talking about? He speaks English every time he opens his mouth.
They put peanut butter on his tongue, and they move his mouth, and someone else does the voice of Barack Obama backstage when he gives a speech.
Does it say that somewhere down there underneath Washington?
It does. Right here, I'm finding it. In an ancient scroll, underneath it says Barack Obama's a werewolf.
So he doesn't speak English, and his kids are robots. That's what you've got for us today.
He is a werewolf.
He's a werewolf. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And his wife is a shapeshifter from the planet Nuknar.
Okay.
I don't think that's true.
It is true. Okay. I've been there many times.
You've been to Nuknar?
We've got a Trump hotel casino on Nuknar.
Is that right?
And they confirmed to me that Michelle is actually their high priestess.
Is there ever a time where you go, hey, this sounds really crazy, and now I'm going to be perceived as a lunatic instead of as the right insane one?
As long as the suckers keep buying this stuff, I'll keep saying it.
I see.
Look
that
at the
makes
polls,
sense.
Mother effer. Look at well, the
I can't see. Argue with that.
Hail Nuknar.
Hey, Lisa, you'd know. When is that royal wedding? Is that the end of the month or
I think it's next
2 weeks?
Week.
Next week,
next
okay.
Week.
Last,
I did,
last
definitely
night.
didn't want to miss it.
Last,
what?
Last night.
What?
Last night.
What?
It was like today at 3 a.m. or something.
So I woke up today and I thought, I really don't care about the royal wedding.
But you turned it on!
I do like to stay current.
Oh, F you!
So I thought, let's at least see what's going on. And the first thing I was greeted with was Anderson Cooper, who, by the way, I'm sure loved the royal wedding, talking to Vera Wang, the designer, about the dress. Now, Kate hadn't gotten out of the car yet. She was still on her way to the wedding. So all they had seen is really the top of the dress. But, man, did they have a lot to say about it.
Vera Wang is with us in New York, as well as Nikki Penny, a former stylist for Kate Middleton. Vera, from what you've seen of the dress so far, what you expected?
I think it's very much what I expected, actually. And I mean that in a good sense. It doesn't seem to be so fashion forward that will age in photographs. I particularly am involved with the veil because I'm a bit of a veil fanatic.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Aren't we all veil fanatics?
And I'm thinking, what is going on? What is on my television right now? But she must be done talking about the dress that she hasn't seen yet, right?
And I think the way they cut the veil, which is they just dropped it down rather than gathering it, is extremely, I think, modern. And
that was my fear. I mean, seriously, how humiliating if Kate had stepped out of that car and she would have had a gathered train. I mean, come on.
It would have been a disaster.
We probably would have gone to war. Yeah. I suspect someone would have sent troops somewhere if that had happened.
A great compliment to probably what I think is a very, very full skirt and train. So that veil, the cut of a veil is key, actually, Anderson. I'm sure you don't want to hear about it, guys.
Okay, believe me, Anderson definitely wants to hear about it.
He wants to hear about it.
So that goes on for, like, I don't know, 20 more minutes. And I was thinking, who are the people who really, not for mocking's sake, but who really are getting up or staying up or setting their alarm to get up in the middle of the night to watch this wedding? What are those people like? And I think, first of all, they're like women, is what they're like.
We did take calls first thing this morning, and they were all from women except for one guy who did it so that he could get some.
Right, because he thought it would get his wife in a romantic mood, and then he could turn to her and say, oh, you think she's a pretty bride.
Right.
I remember you as a pretty bride.
Back when you
but,
were
I think you will enjoy this very much if you weren't with us very first thing this morning when we came on, because we were talking to the people, the single lonely ladies and their cats who had been up all night watching the wedding, and they were every one of them was drinking heavily, having a private party of one. Now, who's up first that we're going to hear from?
I think it is...
Is this
remember.
Leah?
I don't remember. I think it's Leah, yeah. I don't remember, but it's worth listening to because she crazy.
Top of the morning to you guys.
To you as
Top
well.
Top of the morning. Why are you sad? What's going on? Why were you drinking all night?
Because it's so beautiful, and I know that I would never have that, just the whole carriage ride, everything. That's why I've been drinking since 1 o'clock.
Drinking since 1? Because her life is so perfect and so beautiful, and yours is so mundane and so ordinary?
Right. I mean, I don't even have any boyfriend on the horizon, and
well,
then this perfect thing happens, and I'm like sitting here crying, drinking vodka. It's just
wow.
It's terrible.
All right, I hate to be the one that bursts your bubble, but that's not a perfect world. It's meant to look like a perfect world, so that you look at it and sob. But there's a lot of miserable people over there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, remember Princess Diana? She hated Prince Charles from day one, and he hated
right.
her.
That's right. That's why he married Camilla.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So,
but being the princess isn't the perfect world that you're imagining it is. So that should make you feel a little bit better, is to know that in about a week or so, Kate is going to be just as miserable as everyone else.
I mean, but the venue and the people that were singing,
well, the venue was sweet.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The venue was sweet. You were so right about that.
And the carriage? Amazing. So that was one of the women that called.
That was poor Leah.
She had been drinking since 1 o'clock because her life is never going to be that spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, we've been spending the last few weeks with all this nonstop coverage trying to figure out what the appeal is of these people that I assume no one really cares about. I guess the conclusion that we came to, that producer Alex's mom told us, Liz, who, by the way, passed out, not available to talk to us today, yeah. After watching her at her own party. The appeal is that it's the fairy tale princess wedding that all little girls dream about when they're little. And this is a chance to see it in real life. And it only happens once in a generation, usually. I mean, for most people, the last time something like this happened was William's mother, Diana. All right, so then we took one more call from Tanya, and Tanya was also, I'm sure, a very nice lady, but eternally she will be single.
Very alone.
Who needs sleep?
Right.
After a wedding like that, it was amazing. It was balls off the wall.
It was what? Balls off the wall?
Balls off the wall.
All right.
What were your favorite parts, Tanya?
Oh, what a question.
I love seeing Prince Harry. He is like
a zero.
No, girl. Harry's oh, got Harry's some personality. Good. Harry's okay, yeah.
Harry's awesome.
But William's a zero. He's William's a zero, though. You're right. We're right about that, right?
I wouldn't say, you know, he seems like a nice guy. I wouldn't, you know, hug him at the grocery line or anything. But
really, you wouldn't go so far as to hug him in a grocery line?
No, he looks like my sister's ex-husband, so
ew.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Are you another sad, lonely, older woman who'll never have a man, Tanya, like most of the other ladies we're talking to today?
No, not at all. I'm vibrant, youthful-ish. But
are you married and or do you have a boyfriend? Or both?
I am drinking alone at 6:30 in the morning, so I would say none of the above.
That tells us.
So I think that about sums up the audience for the
world.
We
had the pleasure of telling her that her life would remain the same. At least she's not in for some big surprises.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Hey, party people, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Very excited about our guest coming up next half hour. Phil Rosenthal will be here. He is the co-creator of Everybody Loves Raymond. He's now trying to take it, one of the most successful sitcoms of all time, trying to take it to Russia. And he's done a documentary about what that process is like. The Russians are not like the Americans, is what we're learning.
Turns out very different.
So that is fascinating. Anyway, so that's coming up in about 20 minutes. Ralph has the showbiz beat, too. And first, how about our old friend Jim Jefferies, fresh off the stage last night at the Irvine Improv. He'll be back there every night this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to improv.com for tickets. Jim, how you feeling, man?
Hello. How are you doing?
We're good. We're doing great. I am sorry to get you up out of bed so early, or did you stay up all night so you could watch the royal wedding?
No. I did stay up and watch the royal wedding. Where's the sniper when you need one? I want to talk about my projects that I'm working on at the moment. I'm being Raymond in Russian. Everyone Loves Raymond. It's a big deal for me.
I don't think that's your deal.
Although I would pay to see that if they would hire you as the Russian Raymond. That would be awesome.
You would be a good Everybody Loves Raymond, I think.
Did you watch the royal wedding?
No. You know, we saw bits and pieces of it, but we have been talking to our listeners about it, many of whom are women and obsessed with it.
Hands down, I would shag her over Diana. Hands down.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Kate is way hot.
And especially Diana before the car accident. I'm talking Diana before the car accident.
Pre-accident?
I'm talking like pre-car accident Diana. Right. That's what I'm comparing it
to. But see, here's what happens with Kate is now she's in the royal family, so now she'll never show anything that she's got. You know what I mean?
There's got to be one drunk Facebook picture of Kate Middleton just flashing them out there. Surely,
I hope so. I hope.
Put your will here.
No, I think the Queen would have had that person murdered.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard or not, but she's being referred to as a quilf this morning, Jim. They're calling her a quilf because one day, of course, she will be queen.
A quilf to be a queen.
Nice, huh? That's wrong. You know, I don't think you've got a shot with Kate, but have you checked out her little sister, Pippa? Pippa's pretty hot, too.
I like Harry. I'm a Harry guy. I've always been a Harry guy.
You have been a Harry guy as long as I've known you.
I like a Windsor with a full head of hair and one that hasn't actually got his dad in the family.
Yes, that's an excellent point. We were talking about that earlier, how it's not being brought up much around the royal wedding, but it's so obvious that the boys have different fathers, isn't it?
Yeah, he's James Hewitt's son. There's no doubt in my mind that boy's
right, exactly. This is the voice of our friend Jim Jeffries on the phone, appearing at the Irvine Improv Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at improv.com. Look for dates the second week of June at the San Jose Improv. By the way, Jim, I don't think we've spoken with you since April Foolishness, which was unbelievable. I mean, first of all, the filthiest act I've ever seen in my life. May I first start by saying that? You went into it was like going to sex ed class for me. I learned stuff about men and women and their parts that I could not even have dreamed of. And you really go for it, my friend. You go for it.
Well, I'd like to say that I don't, but, you know, That gig was quite bizarre for me, because ordinarily when you do a gig, you're playing to your fans, and then you come out to a gig where there's like 7,000 people and half of them are there to see Ray Romano or whatever like that. And then you go, all right, I'm just going to say the C word a lot. It can get awkward.
Now, Lisa, were you saying that there were some people around you who were horrified by Jim?
Yes, he definitely had some people, like, they got stone-faced.
I emailed with a couple that got up and left during your set, Jim. I was like, yes, Jim ran somebody out of the room.
I'm going to call my next show, Beat the Traffic.
Right. But, I mean, look, you're a comedian, and you've spent your whole adult life winning over people. And you may not, there may have been some people in the audience who weren't familiar with you, didn't know your act when you got there. But you clearly won that room. I mean, you were very, very well received. And I'm sure that must be so satisfying for you to take these people who didn't know you 30 minutes ago, and now all of a sudden they're fans. I mean, that's got to feel great.
Oh, no, that is satisfying. But I got to be honest with you, I'm not a good comic to see on a whim. I'm not a good first date comedian.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That is true. You do need to know someone quite well before you bring them to your show. So if you're going out on a first date tonight, maybe not the Irvine Improv, but if you've been with somebody for a while, Irvine Improv.
Yeah, but if your grand wants to see something. Or,
especially,
you know,
if your grandma wants to see it.
I'm good for things like that.
Sure. You and your mom. Guys.
Mother's Day's coming up, guys. Maybe this is an outstanding present.
Mother's Day's coming up.
Jim, are you still doing the podcast with Eddie as well?
I'm still doing the podcast. Eddie's just got back from Australia, actually. So, he's just gotten back into the house. I left the house quite messy, and Eddie's like this neat freak. And so we've just had a domestic argument in the last couple of days.
Sweet.
Is there ever going to come a time when you, as a grown-ass man with a successful career, and Eddie Ift, who has the same, are going to decide, hey, maybe it's time for us to move out and get our own place? We're adults now.
I know, yeah. It's a bit weird. And it'll stop all the gay rumors with my mum.
Is your mom starting those rumors?
Oh, yeah, my mom's starting those rumors, and she's finishing them. He's like, oh, he can't get married. It's not for him. He's an entertainer, you know.
Right. You know how they are in Hollywood, wink, wink, right. Yeah.
They have a dog together.
Oh, well, that's why you can't break up, because how do you split a dog, right?
Exactly.
I reckon. I can't imagine being a grown person. I mean, this is what the dream of most people is, you get your own place. When you get to a point where you don't have to have a roommate anymore, that's usually a happy moment for most people. But you're continuing to do it even though you don't have to. It's very strange to me, Jim.
I spend most of my life in hotel rooms. I'm happy to have the company.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever home.
I just find Eddie to be Prozac. In one sense, I've got a pinball machine and Eddie. And that's all I need.
Okay. That's all you need. All right. There you go. All right. Jim Jeffries is a fantastic comedian. I couldn't have enjoyed
him.
All
right. Don't oversell
You're
me.
Fantastic.
I'm
okay. He's the best comedian that has ever lived.
If you don't love the show, Kevin will give you your money back. How about that? Irvine Improv.
Everyone loves Raymond, and then there's Jim Jeffries is okay, which is my
song. Friday.
Is all right.
Some people hate him.
Too bad.
But you might like
you
him.
You might like him, right. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night at the Irvine Improv, which is a great room for comedy. Tickets available at improv.com. Don't forget June 9th through the 12th at the San Jose Improv as well. And check out Jim and Eddie's podcast available on iTunes with new episodes, I think on Tuesdays and Thursdays is when they're posting them. Jim Jeffries, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Thank you so much for having me, and I enjoyed that show we did the other night together.
Thank you, man.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. One more question on the Killer Moth. So is the Killer Moth still alive, or did Batman eventually vanquish him?
First of all, Batman doesn't kill, okay?
He doesn't kill his enemies?
No.
Huh. All right.
Killer Moth, the original Killer Moth. Oh, never mind.
Do I not want to know?
Several incarnations of Killer Moth over the years.
I can tell you for sure I don't want to know. I don't care about the Killer Moth.
But the Killer Moth is still out there. We should still be very afraid, though.
Yes, you should be, especially if you live in Gotham City.
Okay. All right. I don't think we have an affiliate in Gotham City, though, so I don't think we're spreading any panic.
We're not on K-Goth?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. All right. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's new?
While we're talking about comic books and superheroes, how about the shocking news this week that Superman is renouncing his U.S. citizenship?
Unbelievable!
Yeah. Truth, justice, and the American way aren't enough anymore, says Superman. He is renouncing his U.S. citizenship in order to become a citizen of the world so that he can protect people all over the globe, not just here in the States. A lot of right-wing bloggers especially upset this week that Superman has renounced his American citizenship.
Of course they are, because Superman is real. We all know that.
I'm just saying.
First of all.
Does Superman spend time fighting people in India and Australia and other countries around
the
world?
He protects the world. This is his adopted home. The planet is his adopted home, not just America.
Oh, I see. He's got no allegiance to America.
Stop being so selfish. He's a citizen of the world.
I'd like to suggest he's not a citizen of anywhere because it's a made-up thing.
He is, first of all, real.
Okay, all
and
right.
Secondly, some folks saying this may be a preemptive strike. He is renouncing his U.S. citizenship just in case Donald Trump wins president in 2012, which may be a smart move on the Man of Steel's part.
For all of us.
We may all be doing that, actually.
That's right. We all may be renouncing soon. Last night at American Idol, Casey Abrams.
Oh, Casey was my woman.
Nope, he was a man. He was down to Jacob and Casey and Scotty. They were in the bottom three, and Casey got the boot.
You get my boot? That's
no,
how they do it.
I'm just saying, he got kicked off the show.
Okay.
Well,
we're not surprised.
Sad news.
I think he's more talented than some of the people that remain, but he was not willing to be a pop idol. He just he would not.
Well, neither's a rock and roll star. What's the rock kid's name?
James.
James. He's going to win the whole thing, and he's not a pop idol.
Yeah.
I think he's going to win the whole thing, that kid. He's
but amazing. I think you're right. I agree with you now. But I don't think Casey wants to be a jazz artist, and that's just not playing well on TV to little kids.
He does a lot of that.
Does
kind
he
of
do
stuff.
That?
Yeah, let us.
He sure does.
That's why he's singing. Gone.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm so bored.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, Chuck Lorre wants to reboot Two and a Half Men without Charlie Sheen.
Is it real?
CBS wants that, too, as does Warner Brothers, according to all the sources involved. So,
reboot meaning start the story from before it was, or just start up again?
Start the story
from
before it was. That's the question
like
you
Batman
asked
Like Batman Begins went back to before but Batman became Batman.
But it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
an origin story. You want the origin story
of John Crusher?
I'm asking
if that's what this
character?
Is, or do they just want to go on without Charlie?
They're going to revamp the series so it can't exist without Charlie Sheen.
Are you a fan of his longtime him?
Reboot means to bring the series back in a new format.
I will stab you with
this. It doesn't have to go back in time.
Just as quickly as you look at me.
They're just revamping the show so that it can continue without Charlie Sheen.
All right.
All right?
Good enough.
Damn. John Cryer will, of course, be involved, and Chuck Lorre says there will be a new, yet-to-be-cast character to play opposite John Cryer, and they hope to have the whole thing resolved by mid-May, which is when CBS will have their, as they call them, upfronts for the advertisers so they can take a look at the new shows.
So they're not going to recast that part. They won't have somebody else play his role, as is done on soap opera sometimes.
Right.
They're probably going to bring in a new third brother that we've never met before to live in the house,
or
right?
Or put John Cryer's character in a new situation with his son. Maybe
the situation is going to do a television show?
Sweet.
Damn it. Maybe he'll leave
that city, go to a new city to take on a new job or something, and run into a new group of people.
Not interested.
So they will rework the show to bring in some new characters.
Damn.
I love John Cryer.
I do too.
I don't know that he's the guy to build the show around, though.
How do you know?
I'm just saying Charlie Sheen may kind of have sort of been the draw there.
Nope. I disagree.
Really?
You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. I think Charlie Sheen's character was the one trick pony, was the one note of the show for John Cryer to play opposite against. He was the one who was reacting to all the stuff. I think it'd be much easier to recast Sheen's role than it would be to recast John Cryer's role.
All right.
What if John Cryer plays the killer moth in this new series?
then
you'd be in.
That's absolutely it. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jerry Seinfeld's 57 years old today. Kate Mulgrew from Star Trek Voyager turns 56. Daniel Day-Lewis is 54. Michelle Pfeiffer, the lovely and talented, turns 53. Eve Plum, who was Jan, the middle Brady girl on the Brady Bunch, is 53 years old. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips is 43. Uma Thurman turns 41 years old today, as does Master P. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm still a little bit uncomfortable. As much as I love Foo Fighters, with them calling a song rape, to me it just seems rude.
I mean, that's rope.
That's not fun. That's not entertaining for anyone.
That is rope.
Don't like it. Hey, it's Kevin Devine Show on a Friday. We're basically coasting now. The week's almost over. But we did save the best for last, ladies and gentlemen, because Phil Rosenthal joins us in studio. His film is called Exporting Raymond, in theaters all over America right now. We'll give you a list of theaters locally coming up here in a minute. Exporting Raymond is the story of taking the very popular Everybody Loves Raymond sitcom that Phil co-created and exporting it around the world, this time to Russia. Hey, Phil, how are you, man?
I'm very good. Nice to be here.
Nice to meet you. I guess you've you know Kevin. You've known him for some time, but I don't think I've ever had the
Kevin is
chance
lovely
to talk to you.
Melissa, very nice.
Kevin's a mess, isn't he, Phil?
Not today.
Let's not go there.
I'm just saying.
For a guy who has to get up early every morning, I have to say he's very handsome.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
I was fascinated because I love the business of television. I was fascinated when I heard about this documentary, and I did not know, and tell me if I read this correctly. Everybody Loves Raymond. We know it and love it for all those years on the air in America, but it's in almost 150 other countries?
Yes, in our version, either dubbed or subtitled.
Oh, my God.
I see.
Right?
But not recast.
No. This is the first time another country took our scripts, translated them into their language, and cast their actors for their audience.
Wow.
Okay. Yes.
Why, though, if it's good enough for 149 other countries, why did Russia decide not to just run yours and put it in Russian?
Why did we have to bring The Office over here when it's actually in English already?
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a good
Everybody wants their version. Yeah. You know, I could probably do a Southern American version of Everybody Loves Raymond, you know. Everybody Loves Gomer or something. I don't know. But everybody likes their own thing.
Now, when they came to you and said Russia wants it, but they want to... Did they say up front they want to change it to their own actors and the whole deal? Or no? Did you find that out when you went over there?
Here's what happened. Sony, the head of Sony, called me into his office a few years ago. And Sony created the sitcom business in Russia. The sitcom as a form. The form we know. The half-hour sitcom.
It didn't exist in Russia before?
Didn't exist before The Nanny.
Before The Nanny?
Yes. Of all shows.
Yes. Sony brought The Nanny. They owned The Nanny. They brought it over there.
Okay, let me stop you, Phil.
Yeah.
Why did the Russian people allow them to make any more sitcoms if the first one they saw was The Nanny?
Because it became a huge hit.
Did they recast it?
Yes.
With their own people?
I see.
Okay.
It became a huge hit. And then Married with Children, that became a huge hit.
Wow.
And then Who's the Boss? That became a huge hit.
Okay. Wow.
Golden Girls, not a huge hit. Why? Because there's no nice, sunny place for old ladies to go in Russia.
Is that true?
Yes.
Now, they couldn't relate.
Right. I watched a lot of this movie. I didn't have time to get through all of it. I didn't see how it ended. But
nope,
it was,
I'm not going to tell you how it ends.
It was very fascinating to see you go over there and try to navigate the waters of the way Russians do business.
Yes, it was really, it's a comedy about a guy who thinks he's an expert in something who goes to a land where nobody cares.
No one cares at all.
No, they have their way of doing it. They're very happy to have me. I was told I would be welcomed.
It
wasn't the case, really.
Yeah. So in other words, you go over there and you say, look, use me as a resource. I'm a professional. I've been doing this for a long time. I know how television works. I know how this show works. I know how to make this show successful. And they basically just threw all out the window and said, you'll do it our way or we won't do it at all.
It wasn't that. They just – I learned through the course of the film and through the course of my life over there that they're very busy people.
Right.
They also – there's all politics involved and feelings too. Like these people lost the Cold War.
Right.
The last thing they need is some American know-it-all coming over and telling them what to do or how to do it. They're busy. They're going to three other jobs that day.
Okay.
So here I come caring about my show.
Right.
And we had a line in the writer's room, punished for caring.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah. So they tell you that they don't really have the equivalent of a stronger woman, weaker man there.
They told me.
Did you believe that? Like, well, that's Ray and his wife.
They're telling me Russian men are macho.
Right.
So nobody's going to like this Raymond character, this guy who's always told what to do by the women. And
that won't translate at all.
Yeah. I thought that was baloney. I thought you may act tough, but I think when you go home, your wife tells you what to do.
Right.
Look at Ralph Cramden in The Honeymooners. Was there ever a guy who wanted to be more macho, who pretended, he even physically threatens his wife?
Sure.
One of these days, Alice, shaking his fist at her, bang, zoom, right?
Uh-huh.
That day never came because Alice would give him a look or a line, and that was the end of Ralph, right?
But you
and
thought that pussycat. Was universal to marriage.
I do think
they
so.
They don't think that? Or
you
they,
still think that?
They said
of course
no.
I do.
Of course.
So don't what you discovered there was that that is the case as well?
I won't tell you because that's the end.
Oh, that's the end. Okay.
But I will say that I did go, finally, I had been asking to get into the home of a Russian family to just because I thought that was essential research. I don't want the show to be the American version of our show over there. I want it to be relatable to Russians.
Well, that's what made it successful, is relatable.
But yes, so make it relatable to your people.
Right.
But, of course, they think they know better. And this is like executives here, too. That's the point. Is executives, they're always second-guessing what they think the audience wants, so 90% of everything stinks.
Yeah.
That's right. Phil, is the government involved in television programming in Russia the way I imagine it might be in terms of what you can and can't do on a show?
They might be. I wasn't told it.
Wait, you went over there how many times?
I was twice there.
Twice
yeah,
over there.
I was there in March, and then because it wasn't quite cold enough, they sent me back in December.
Excellent.
Yeah. By the way, I was nervous to go. I was excited to go because here, I mean, look, I'm very lucky to have had any success at all with our show. And then for another country to want to do it, our former enemy?
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to go until somebody says to me, oh, you're going to Russia. Make sure you have K&R insurance. And I said, what's that?
What's
and they
that?
Said, kidnap and ransom.
Uh-oh.
I said, oh, that's very interesting. I'm not going. And then Sony said, oh, you don't have to worry. That doesn't happen. That never happens. I said, it happens enough for there to be an abbreviation.
People say it enough that they can't. They don't
that
have time
they call
for
the whole... it K&R.
Did you get K&R?
I did, and I got a security guard / driver named Eldar, who you see in the picture. He's a wonderful guy. And I, off camera, I said to him, you know, thank God for you. I feel very safe with you. And he says, Mr. Rosenthal, I have to tell you, Sony did not go for the gun package.
There was a gun package?
That they could have gotten for me.
Right.
But
meaning
I wasn't
got a security guard who's unarmed, right.
But they didn't care about you enough? That,
no.
Okay. So
no.
As long as his bare fists could handle it, you were safe.
Good time to find out.
And then I saw when you went back in December, he bailed on you.
Yes.
What?
Phil, what I'm
they didn't
learning...
go for the Eldar package either.
What I'm learning is that no one wants to work with you. That's the message that I'm taking away from this.
From the thing, yes. Very
the film
good.
Is called Exporting Raymond. It is in select theaters right now, starting today. Fascinating story. We have many more questions with our guest, Phil Rosenthal. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph has our final look at the showbiz beat coming up in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Phil Rosenthal is our guest. He is the co-creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, one of the most popular sitcoms in the history of American television, on in almost 150 countries around the world, and he has made a documentary about the show being recast and remade for the Russian audience called Exporting Raymond. By the way, will you do another television show as well, Phil? Will you go back to
sure.
That?
Yeah, no, I don't know if you've heard, but business is terrible. So, like everybody else, I've had to diversify. So,
but
I have
they're still putting shows on the air, though. People are still making TV shows and putting them on, right? That's still happening.
As long as they're singing competitions.
As long as they're The Voice, you're fine, right?
By the way, what nobody talks about that show is it's the most old-fashioned idea in...
The Voice?
Well, all
these
shows,
of them.
They're all the Ted Mack Amateur Hour. You
right,
know, they're
from,
all
right
from,
out of 1950, right?
Yeah, they're all about. Look, they may gussy them up and make them and put hip people in them, but at the end of the day, what are we looking for? The nicest singer.
Yeah,
and the other show is who's the best dancer.
Sure,
these are very old-fashioned ideas.
There are definitely peaks and valleys in the types of shows that are popular. I mean, obviously, reality television is much of what's on in prime time now. And there have been times where there have been very few even sitcoms on the air, where sitcoms have fallen out of favor.
Yeah, I have
but
to
it
say
seems
that
like
the glut of reality shows that we're seeing now, could signal something more than just a trend, and that is the end of civilization.
Didn't you think, like, with those first early reality shows, you went, okay, I see the novelty, but
I like Survivor.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
I did,
that
too.
First, everybody did.
And then I stopped watching that two or three seasons in.
Because you get it.
You get it.
And they become self-aware.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, there's so many, and then you start going, well, this is going to be the end of it. It's not. It's not at all. There's more now than there ever has been.
And they keep digging lower and lower into the ditch,
until they end up with the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jersey Shore is the most popular of all of them, essentially, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest shows on television for young people. It's crazy. So, did you figure out, and I don't want you to give anything away in exporting Raymond that you want us to learn in the film, but did you figure out the Russians? Did you get where they're coming from at some point after
a little
dealing
bit?
With them
here's what it is. We always tried to find the humor in real life. Mm-hmm. That 90% of what you saw on the show happened to me or Ray or one of the other guys and writers. And when you go over to Russia and you tell them, you know, we can find the humor in real life, they say to me, real life is terrible. Why would we put that on television?
Wow. Was that a shock to you? I mean,
yes.
Because you can find really comedy in any situation as long as you're looking for it.
I had to believe because the show was not topical. In other words, it wasn't specifically American.
Right.
Okay? What are we dealing with? The wife and the husband fight. The parents bother you. The brother is jealous, right? The kids are a pain in the neck sometimes.
That's pretty universal.
I think. Otherwise, I don't know. They don't have parents. They don't have wives and kids. So they were giving me this argument that, no, that's not good enough. That's boring.
That's boring.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What was Raymond's name in the Russian show, and what did he do for a living?
It was Everybody Loves Kostya.
Well, yes, of course it was.
And he was a sports writer that they have.
Okay.
Do they have sports writers in Russia?
I'm sorry?
Do they even have sports writers in Russia?
Yeah. They write about, you know, they have soccer and stuff. They write about the sports,
okay.
You know. He instead of having a house across the street where the parents live in an apartment across the hall in
All
Moscow.
Right. So that makes sense to them.
Yeah, fine.
More, okay.
I wanted it to be relatable to them. And when I went to visit this family, I found that they were a lot like our family, except their grandparents could use the computer. Not like my parents.
Yeah. Your parents have no idea how to use it?
That's in the movie. Yeah, you'll see. Yeah.
I saw it at the beginning, actually. And they argue about every single slide picture they have from,
isn't that amazing?
From going to Russia.
I mean, obviously you've been filmed, but my parents have never been filmed, and they come to the house, and they put a microphone cord up the front of the inside of my mother's blouse, and she's like, oh my, and they clip it here, and wear this battery pack on your tush, Mrs. Rosenthal. And then my father's like, I have to wear this on my ass. And then two big guys with cameras and lights are in their house where they've lived for 40 years. Another guy with a boom microphone on a pole.
Right.
And within 5 minutes, they're fighting as if nobody's there.
Yeah. That is a weird thing.
It is.
Because they're showing him the pictures of when they went to Russia.
But I guess that's how reality shows are. Doesn't Snooki know she's on television? Why does she do these things?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
The film is called Exporting Raymond, and it's opening up, if I have my facts correct, it's opening up in Philadelphia, New York, in Phoenix, and in Los Angeles, in Southern California. Theaters all over those are the only theaters you have so far going on?
There's a bunch, yes, and then it will spread like the plague slowly across
and kill people.
Let me throw out some love for some of our Kevin Bean affiliates. You can see the movie in Santa Barbara starting today at the Riviera. Also for our Palm Springs listener in Rancho Mirage, you got the River 13, the Century River 15 is where that movie is playing. And you're all over Southern California, Encino, Irvine, La Jolla, Pasadena. Where are you appearing tonight? You're actually doing a Q&A in front of one of your screenings.
The Lemley Santa Monica. I'll be there at the 7:50 show tonight and tomorrow night and the 5:20 show Sunday.
Before or after?
I think after. Nobody wants to talk to you before.
Okay. They haven't seen the movie yet. Well, it looks great. It really looks like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself.
People seem to enjoy it.
What I've seen, I really love, and I can't wait to get back to it.
Don't be offended by Kevin. He's never finished a movie. He's seen the beginning of a lot of movies, read the beginning of a lot of books.
That's fine.
I'm not a finisher.
That's what your wife said. All right, thanks, Joe.
I love you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Ralph. I just turned on the radio late at the last second. What song were we playing? I didn't catch what the tune was we had going on. Oh, that's right. It was Mumford and Sons. That's right. All right. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Kevin and Bean show for a Friday. What's going on?
I just turned on the radio at the last minute, being said.
He's the only listening to us.
Just trying to
set up the bit.
I know, but wait, it's the simplest setup in the world. What should I have done? What should I have said?
Ralph, what was that song we were just playing?
What were the lyrics to that?
That's all you need.
I wasn't listening to
this. I just turned on my radio at the last minute.
As if he's hearing us on the radio. He's not doing the show with us. You know what it's like? You have an instant to come up with this stuff sometimes, and not everything comes out just right. If I had the opportunity to go back and do it again, maybe I would.
All right.
I was in the other room working on a souffle, and you know how carefully you have to step there so that it doesn't fall in the last stages. And I walked in the room, and I just happened to turn the radio, and it was the show that I'm currently on, oddly enough, but I missed what the last song was. Could you tell me what it was?
I accept your score.
I need to give away these final passes to the red carpet world premiere of Thor!
Yay!
Happens Monday night. Very exciting. I can't wait. You know, in some theaters, it's going to be in 3D.
Love it.
And on some screens, IMAX.
Is it both or is it?
And some screens, 3D IMAX.
All right.
So you got a lot going for you if you want to see Thor this week. Next week, rather, I have tickets for the red carpet world premiere. Pretty cool stuff. If you'd like to go, here's the trivia question. I'm not just going to give them away. You got to know some stuff.
Of course.
Thor, I don't have to tell you guys, was one of the original members of the Avengers. One of the founding members of the Avengers.
Obviously. Don't insult us.
The team made its debut in Avengers number one. In September.
September?
What year?
19.
What was that?
19.
What was the number?
60.
Yes?
I don't know.
1960.
I don't remember. I'm waiting for you. Come on.
Who's talking in your ear? Who's
no one. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, 1963.
63.
63. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying until you interrupted him.
And you interrupted.
I'm sorry. 1963 was the date. It was Thor and four other legendary superheroes made up the original lineup of the Avengers. I need to know the other four members of the original lineup of the Avengers. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two people with the correct answers, boom! Pair of passes. Red carpet world premiere of Thor.
There's Gene and Paul. Ace.
That's Kiss.
Kiss. Who's the other one? Oh, I'm sorry.
Kiss. Not the Avengers at all, but Kiss, which sounds nothing like the Avengers. Oh, Casey Abrams was booted off American Idol last night.
I was so upset. She was the best!
It was a guy. Casey Abrams. I was so hoping Jacob Lusk would finally deserves. But no, he's around for another one.
He's in over his head at this point. He's shown what he's got, and it's not enough.
Who gives a damn?
And he's a Fat Samwell from What in the Butt. That's who he is. He's Fat Samwell, as I always call him.
And by the way, the little suits he wears, it's like he gets dressed from the Pottery Barn children's catalog.
Yeah.
I can't figure out why he's wearing those outfits.
He looked like a carnival barker this week. He had like a giant plaid striped shirt and a weird colored bow tie.
Sounds like he's trying to look bad.
Carnival barker from the 20s. Step right up. See the amazing bearded woman. Come right this way.
And usually his type are a little more fashion forward.
I don't know whether that's sexist or racist. It's insulting on so many levels.
Not at all.
Is because he's gay? Because he's black?
Didn't even think about either of those. He's an entertainer. Because entertainment people usually have better fashion.
You're good.
That's what I meant.
That's what you meant.
Your mind is racist because you went there, man.
Okay.
Not because he did.
Reality TV show news. Angelina, remember her from the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, she was the Snooki Light.
She was the one everyone hated. Came back for the second season. Eventually, they exorcised her from the house. She was sent packing. She's pregnant. That's good news, right?
Oh, great. They're reproducing.
She's expecting her baby with her fiancé, a guy named Dave Kovacs. I'm sure he's thrilled. No way out now, Dave. But she says they're thrilled. They can't wait for the baby. Think the baby would be tanned?
Sure.
Buff? Sure. With good laundry?
Sure.
GTL baby?
Sure.
Britney Spears has the world at her feet these days. Got a new successful album. Touring. Couldn't be happier. However, she is, it's weird. She doesn't have a cell phone.
She has no cash. What? She has no credit cards.
She's like the president.
She is. She is now in a bubble.
What's happening?
Well, her husband, her father, Jamie Spears, still controls her affairs.
Even to the point of not having a cell phone?
Yep. Controls all of her cash. Doles her out an allowance that she gets to spend, but no more than that. Can't receive phone calls without security giving clearance to the person on the other end of the phone.
Is this because she made poor choices with her friends and managers before? And
yes.
That's why dad's trying to...
Dad is still calling the shots.
At some point, though, doesn't she say, I'm almost 30, I'm allowed to live my own life?
No, but the court said she can't, right? Didn't the court...
All her legal affairs are controlled by her father, yes. But this is just across the board, even socially. She has to get clearance from him before she can call a friend.
So if she's ever on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, she's in bad shape.
She has to call her dad first.
That's right.
And that's a call.
And that's going to burn her call, and she won't be able to call a friend to get the answer. So she'll be screwed. She shouldn't go on that show is what I'm saying.
I'm suggesting she may not. She shouldn't go on that show anyway.
Really?
My point, yeah.
I bet she's smart. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Let's talk to Alex, shall we, on line number one. Alex?
Hey,
I need the original lineup of the Avengers.
Okay, so it's the Hulk.
Right.
Ant-Man.
Iron Man.
And the Wasp.
Absolutely. Those were the Avengers. Of course, three issues later, they added Captain America, which helped significantly.
You have to tell us.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Thor.
Okay.
Ralph will be the one running up and down the aisles going, yay!
With a hammer in my hand. I'll be wearing the helmet. Excelsior! I'll be screaming as I run up and down. You won't be able to miss me. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Seinfeld is 57 years old. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Hillel, too, the other winner.
Is that his Krypton name?
Hillel? Yes, probably from Krypton.
That's what it says.
That or he's Jewish. One or the other. Jerry Seinfeld is 57 years old today. If you haven't caught it yet, the great special on HBO they're running this week called... was it Talking Funny? So it's called?
Talking Funny.
Talking Funny,
so
yeah.
Like that.
It's Louis C.K., Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Ricky Gervais talking about the business and nature of comedy. And it is fascinating and very, very funny. Who has a better laugh than Ricky Gervais, by the way?
No one.
When he really gets laughing, it's just awesome.
He enjoys himself. And it was really interesting to see the different choices that they make in how they do their stand-up in terms of what kind of language they use, whether they come back for encores. I mean, all those things that we don't really think about because we're not in that business. But they all had reasons for developing the way they did. And it was just a great fly-on-the-wall show.
Can we get rid of the laughing Britney Spears? That makes no sense to anyone in any story ever.
I play it mainly for Britney.
Yeah.
Back to you.
But no one could be able to identify that and say, oh, that's a funny break because that's Britney's voice. That's what I'm saying.
Once you said you didn't like it, you were doomed.
Yeah. But I'm just
you
saying,
you should know better.
Besides me not liking it, it's not good. Does that factor into your decision-making process at all?
Does Ralph like it? If the answer is no.
Right.
And I hit it.
So the general welfare of the show in general means very little to
correct.
You. I understand.
That is correct.
And that explains so much to me now on so many different levels. Actress Kate Mulgrew is 56 years old. Daniel Day-Lewis celebrates his 54th birthday. I'm just going to drink a milkshake for his birthday, do you think? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because he'll drink your milkshake from time to time. I was wondering on his birthday if he gets to drink your milkshake.
Put that in the file.
Michelle Pfeiffer is 53. Eve Plum, who was Jan on the Brady Bunch, is also 53. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips turns 43. Uma Thurman is 41. And Master P. Celebrates his 41st birthday. I am Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everyone. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
You want to use meat, Mom?
I'm pretty good with the penises.
Nice beaver.
What the heck is up with that?
I just pass it on down.
Well, I think we know the results of the sound check. Did it sound horrible? Check.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for helping to make all these songs hits for us. You are truly wonderful.
I'm Mark Thompson.
Assalamu alaikum.
Your show has been canceled.
Have you ever had any sex that was voluntary?
No, I have not.
Yeah, have a good evening.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better stuff to do. I've got better stuff to do. Thanks very much, Irvin.